This week's episode of Heavy Meta is exclusively brought to you by Face-to-Face Toronto.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, all you red-faced rejects? I'm Gabby Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
And you're listening to Heavy Meta. And I cannot come up with an intro to save my life anymore.
We already got through it, man. Don't stop now.
Exactly. Just keep this bitch on the track. Let's go.
Look, I believe the term is when you're in a skid, you just keep steering into it. So just keep steering into the skid, man. We'll get through it.
Well, we talked about earlier today, we should just do the episode backwards. So I could just starting the episode every week, which is just go fuck yourself, San Diego. I'm Kevin Metal.
No, the point, I guess people didn't understand. The point would be we record an episode as normal, but then I would reshuffle the segments backwards. I don't know if that would work. I mean, we could try an episode
hammered out of our fucking minds and just start at the end. And we'll have to do it completely in reverse. So we'll have to be laughing about shit that's an inside joke that we, you know, on a normal episode, we would make some sort of reference to something and then laugh about it and keep the joke going for the next like half hour, 45 minutes. But instead, we're going to have to laugh about shit, hammer drunk, and make references to something that we're not going to come up with for the next 45 minutes.
I don't think that's possible. But
I think if you get enough cracking in me, it is possible.
Well, you know what? As I've said, in one week, I guess by the time you hear this, yeah, 1 week, GP Portland, so we'll test it live. How about that? We'll just do a live backward episode of the Heavy Minute. So, tonight, folks,
bring a video camera.
We have got a absolutely smashing, super packed show. We are not going to be recording next week because we are going to be doing other things, in other cities, and recording will not be one of them. So there is that.
Well, we might be recording stuff. It just won't be on Skype for this fucking podcast.
I mean, I will say if I wasn't on the cast right now, I would be yelling in my car or earphones that there won't be an episode next week. And that makes me very sad. I'd like to think we'll find time to record something.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I feel like we'll be able to.
I think we could record something.
Tony just fucking kicks the fucking computer over and he fucking...
Yeah, as soon as he heard we're not doing an episode next week, he just kicked his screen in, so...
What the fuck?
Fucking hit the panic button. He's just all... Eh!
I'm fucking rage quitting life right now.
No! You can't rage quit life.
We should just make Tony do the episode next week.
Oh, he's done. Snap your voice.
Your voice is my voice, and he's got to keep everybody interested for 3 fucking hours.
All right, well, tonight, folks, off the top, you probably heard our new intro. We have a new sponsor, and we also have the big news that, I mean, I'm sure
it's a new old sponsor.
That's true. Randall. Yeah, it's like, I don't even know what it is.
It's a new and improved sponsor.
Yeah, so the big announcement tonight is Face-to-Face Games, which you've all heard many times has been a sponsor of the A-Team and Mana Deprived. You know, we have a big, happy, incestually-like type of family.
I hear they have a pretty good pro tour team.
They do.
Yeah, basically all bang KYT is what it really comes down to.
But the big news is there is a brand new location, Face-to-Face Toronto. So all you Torontonians and Ontarians, we've got a Face-to-Face Toronto story. Now,
is Torontonian a real word?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's just like Tim Hortonian? Tim Hortonian? Anyways, so the big news that, you know, obviously Face-to-Face Toronto, new location, that's awesome. And you're like, well, that's really cool, but who could you possibly trust with running a location like that? And, you know, many times I've said if a store is going to open, it's got to be run by the best people in the world. And I'm here to congratulate Mr. Awesome Sauce and
Awesome Sauce
and Kelly, the fucking best judge ever, tour operator, master of remembering a billion people's names.
I should get him as our tour manager for my band.
Well, they are the new owners of Face to Face Toronto, so we are going to help the shit out of them, and I hope everyone else will. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. This has been a little longer in the making than some people know about. But, I mean, I just came from my third 14-hour day in a row at the store, and couldn't be happier.
How's it shaping up?
I don't want to give too much away.
Because I want
to build the allure a little bit, and I'm not gonna be that guy who posts pictures of the progress. You're just all gonna have to come and see it as soon as the doors open.
Hell yeah! By that he means he's been sleeping at the store for like 3 14-hour days.
No, not actually true. Yes, I mean maybe starting when we have a floor.
That'd be nice. That's a good idea.
Yeah, floor seems like a good spot to sleep, right?
I won't spoil anything, but I did see an orange wall, so I don't know. I'm just saying.
There might be a few orange things there.
Yeah, it looks really cool. It's coming along. So, congratulations, guys. I think you guys are gonna absolutely crush it. I know I'm looking forward to coming out and seeing what this thing shapes up like. So.
I gotta fucking go to Toronto now.
Another reason to come up.
We'll just keep lining up reasons until Kevy shows.
Yeah.
A good start would be like a fucking 6-foot-tall cardboard cutout of me in the store.
Now, guys.
Let's make it so that it can, it's like a puzzle piece that fits onto the Garrick, so he's just like mounting Garrick.
That's so awesome. Just riding Garrick down the street, the thing will be like fucking 12 feet tall. It'll be awesome.
This is all possible. I bring a camera to Portland. We can get the high res picture. I mean, we could make a full res heavy metal cutout of you. That's not a problem.
Stacked motherfucker. You can stand there and just take the place of Garrick. We'll just put you in a green suit. We'll just green screen you.
Do you want everyone to know, obviously you're still in the construction phase, the building phase of the store, but I mean, everyone's going to be asking a million questions. So why don't we cover the top three real quick? When are you guys opening? When can someone get down there? Check this place out.
August.
When can somebody go down on your store?
right away. But
right away. No. Absolutely.
We're not going to give a specific opening date.
Okay.
Because there's too many things that need to happen between now and open for business, and I don't want to promise a day that's then not going to happen, right?
So basically you're not going to do what Moto did, right?
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to promise you the world and then take it all away.
You should open the store right now, and then when people come down to buy cards, you're like, oh, we don't have any.
If they're gonna use the Moto business model, yeah, they just open the store up and have people go. Like, you guys can fucking advertise the shit out of it, and it's just not have anything there when people show up.
No, they're gonna have stuff. Now, I have a question. So we don't know exactly when it's opening, but for all the local Toronto people that want to come out and help, what can they do? Do you want help?
So
what's the plan there
for the local SVU that want to pitch in? Pick up an Allen key. We are having an adult Lego party, a.k.a. assemble IKEA furniture, because it's pretty much Lego. This coming Monday. It's super soon. Monday, the holiday Monday, we got to put 80 pieces of IKEA furniture together. So that's happening. Anytime.
Oh, God. I would burn the place down like 20 pieces in. I guarantee it. I put IKEA furniture together and it makes me so angry. I would just burn the store down. I'd burn the store down, get the insurance money, and fucking open a bar.
Well, Kevy, let me just put this out here for you. I have already electrocuted myself. That's how we found out that we had lights. I was like, oh, light switch. I need to paint around that. Zap. Oh, apparently the lights work. Because my head lit up.
That is fucking awesome. I'm proud
of
you.
I'm actually two layers of paint, too, like on me, deep.
Nice.
Yeah. One of those colors might be orange.
Nice. So that's cool. So Monday, guys come out, hit up Kelly or Anthony. Awesome sauce.
We're on Twitter. We have the
awesome every day. Not awesome sauce.
the other important thing, if people do have questions, if people are wondering what's going on, if you want to know how shit's going to work and all that, please send all your emails to kelly.a@facetofacegames.com. Please do not flood poor Peter's inbox in Montreal. He's going to get all the people who don't hear this are going to send him an email anyway. But please, kelly.a@facetofacegames.com. We'll take care of it. There's a lot of question marks still. We're working on it. It's going to be open soonish, and it's going to be amazing when it does, but we don't want to like promise the world and not deliver, right? So
for sure.
Let us get all our ducks in a row, and then it will be awesome.
I personally have opened 5 restaurants, and I've never been a part of something that opened on the day that people said it was going to open.
No.
Yeah.
And remember, folks, I'm sure me and Kevy will make sure Twitter hears of any updates occurring in the store. I do have an interesting question before you guys get back to painting, and that is with the recent announcements of how judges are paid, I guess, and how the new PTQ structure works. What's the plan there? Are you guys going to have to hire some more judges and some level twos at Face-to-Face Toronto? Like, what is your thoughts on this new breaking info?
I mean, one of the cool things about the judge program is that I got started as a judge almost 3 years ago now, and I love judging. That's how I got good at being a TO, was working for other TOs as a judge and being like, man, this shit screwed up. When I'm in charge, I'm not going to do it like this. I'm going to do this other way instead. And that's partly why, you know, I have such respect for the judge community, is because I know what it takes, because I've done that to judge. I know other level twos in the neighborhood, and we are definitely getting on board with this. And we will, I can't wait to host a PTQQ and make everyone cry about how awesome it's going to be.
What do you think about this extra level of PTQing now? Like, to me, I feel like while that sounds like another opportunity to like battle less people, I guess, so you have a higher chance of qualifying, it's like you're doing it twice now. So
it's definitely like a yo dog moment. We were joking about this exact thing. I wrote an article back in November of 2013. Talking about PTQ reform and how there needs to be like some changes to the system, because when we're hosting a nearly 400 person PTQ in the Toronto area, it gets out of hand, right? And you know, there's people in Montana fighting for, you know, fighting through 43 other people for their PTQ invite, yet people in Ontario have to battle through 400 people. You know, we're playing like 9 or 10 rounds, like it's before the top 8. And so anyway, I wrote an article about it, and one of the things I said was that there needs to be change. So I'm excited that there is change. I'm optimistic that this is the right change. And I hope they do it right. We don't have enough details yet to really know, but, hopefully it all comes through, and there's a lot of potential in this system, but it does mean it's like one more, you're one step further away from the PTQ.
To me, the only thing that scares me is Toronto. I'm sure there's a wealth of level two judges that could probably handle the stores. What I worry about is some of these other communities that have barely a level one.
Yep.
Like what do they do? Like, so, I hope there's a recruitment, or maybe they, I mean, we need something to get more people judging. That's what it sounds like to me. Like,
absolutely. And there has actually been a lot of work within the judge program recently to help marginalized communities have a judge presence. So, yeah, like, even here in Toronto, the Toronto community is one of the densest Magic populations in the world, and there is a stark, you know, there's a lack of judge presence here. And but there's been a lot of community involvement from outside Toronto to help foster the community from within, right? So, you know, Pat Wong, my buddy, has been doing a ton of work driving all over the GTA, helping promote judges and get people leveled up and stuff like that. And There's been a lot of sort of, you know, they're working on systems of remote testing and stuff like that. So people are being mentored over Skype and stuff like that, you know.
Well, Kevy, you got your chance, bro.
Well, no, that's seriously. Talking to my regional manager guy or whatever.
Yep. From, regional like, judge area, coordinator.
That's what he basically was talking to about.
Let's give him a shout out. Who is your regional coordinator?
Let me find it.
Oh,
you'd expect him to have that information on hand. Come on now. That's, you know, that he's like, oh shit, I gotta dig through my phone now. Mr. Blank.
Yeah, exactly. And that's happening all over the place. Like, I met this, a fantastic guy from, Thunder Bay, Ontario. And believe you me, there are not a lot of judges in Thunder Bay, but there's, you know, a lot of support, and as so much can happen over Skype and over the internet in general, we don't really need to sit in the same room. I mean, how often do you and Kevy hang out, Maddie? Like,
right.
Every fucking week in the cave, Kelly.
Exactly.
Every week.
Exactly. And a lot of judge work can happen that way too. So,
get a cave.
Come on, judges, get a cave.
David Zimmet. Yeah.
I pity you for training Kevy. No. That's awesome. I mean, I think the whole thing is interesting. I mean, PTQs had like this, I don't know, electric excitement kind of thing. I mean, some of them were shitty in the Legion that they used to hold them in. So.
Oh, that was the worst.
Yeah. That place was just horribly bad. I don't know why they chose the location. Hopefully, like, I guess.
It's $400. That's why they chose the location, because it's super cheap to rent.
Yeah. Because it's a toilet. So, I mean, yeah, when home
place shows at the VFW, the same fucking thing. Fucking
look, man.
Would throw shows at the VFW hall because you could rent it out for like $100 and there was a bar attached to it.
When homeless guys are pissing on the carpet like that, you don't play magic there. That's just not cool. But
Maddie, here's a little knowledge. Our washrooms, speaking of playing magic in toilets, our washrooms are bigger than the Legion.
Wow. This store already sounds fucking awesome, man. This sounds a badass, man. I can't wait to check it out. That's cool, guys. So, man, good luck. Keep us abreast of a situation. Let us know what's going on. And maybe we'll bring you on every once in a while and give us some trivia of what's going down at the Toronto store. Right. Yeah, updates. And
There's going to be a flurry of activity for sure. We're super excited about it. And there's going to be lots of, you know, you'll see us at the next Southern Ontario Magic Society event on August 9th, and then at the WMCQ the week after, and then at the Mana Deprived Super Series in Winnipeg on the 23rd of August, and then, you know, it's like event after event, then Montreal MDSS, the Labor Day long weekend, so there's like, or Montreal WMCQ rather. So there's so many exciting events happening week after week, and we definitely are super stoked to be a part of it all, and so many beautiful things happening.
We're stoked. We really are. And I guess the burning question is, so like, when are you guys getting your liquor license?
So Kevin,
because that's when I'll show up to Toronto.
So here's what I'm working on.
I'll show up with a cot. And expect to live there.
There's
Kevy, you're not
going to
need
be
a cot.
Leather couches. Yeah. There's leather couches. You don't need a cot.
Yes!
Leather couches will be good enough.
You can sleep beside me.
Yeah, yes! Yeah.
Snuggle, spooning.
I'm big spoon.
I'm okay with it. I feel more comfortable being little spoon.
Nice. WOTC has some, like, policies on serving alcohol when minors are involved, yada, yada. So we probably won't be getting a liquor license. However, we have been scoping out the local watering holes and planning some after hours events. So that is in the plan.
I knew you weren't going to let me down. I didn't actually think you were going to be able to get a liquor license, but I knew you weren't going to let me down.
Now, someone had asked me on Twitter, because obviously, you know, this is what Twitter's for. Where the fuck is this thing located? Because we should actually kind of say where it's located. Right. So the local community can be like, oh, my God, I can't wait to see the sign go up.
So
where are you guys?
The cool thing about the store is we're in the east end of Toronto, right at the corner of Woodbine and Danforth.
Nice.
The actual address is 2077 A Danforth Avenue, which is at the corner, literally on the corner upstairs from Pizza Pizza. But the neat thing about the neighborhood is that there is no other game stores in the neighborhood. And, you know, there was one game store kind of close, and then they moved to an area with lots of other game stores. So there is literally nothing. And all of the locals we've talked to are like, oh my God, we can come play board games. I can't wait. There's nothing like that here. So nice. one of the things we're excited about is not just servicing the Magic community that already exists, but helping foster a new community and grow a new community. There are 4 elementary schools nearby us.
Nice.
The one that's closest.
That's why the liquor license is a bad idea.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yeah, hey, man, they go to bed at 9 o'clock. Dual purpose locations.
But the one that's closest to us this past year had 5 kindergarten classes. 5.
Damn.
And
a lot of potential wizards.
Exactly. Next summer, there's going to be like wizard camp.
Nice.
I guarantee you. We'll make it happen.
Well, hell yeah. It's not like we know anything about fostering a community, so we can't help
you. It's okay.
There.
I'm just gonna talk to Robot Large. He's gonna help hook me up
there
with all the D&D, the D&D birthday parties and stuff like that. Robot,
nice. Fly him in. Fly him in for a special consultation service. He'll hook you.
That's right.
Awesome guys.
Artwork cut out of him too.
Oh yeah, for sure. Giant robot. How do you go wrong with that? All right, guys. Well, that sounds freaking awesome, man. Let us know what's going on. Keep us up to date, man. And we're gonna trudge on through this 3-hour monster cast we're doing tonight.
Oh boy,
interesting. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm going long.
Hammered.
I'm gonna be drunk as shit when this is done.
All right, guys. We'll catch you when you got news, man. Let us know. Keep us up to date.
All right,
love
you on Twitter.
All right, guys.
Love you guys, take care.
See you, bye.
Later, buddy. All right, so big news out of Toronto, but there was even bigger news.
Wish I was in Toronto right now.
I know, dude. It's going to be fucking epic.
I could go watch them paint while I drink.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it can't come up out. You said the couch. Man, that
paint. I brought my Allen wrenches for you guys to use for that furniture, and I'm not dressed to paint, but I brought booze.
If you're really good with a drill, you can use an Allen key attachment on it, which a lot of people are like, oh my God, you'll just strip it. No, if you're really good with letting off the throttle, oh yeah, because I've built so much IKEA furniture, you can just zip and get it going. But I wouldn't recommend the average person do that because IKEA furniture strips pretty much.
It also has just so many different fucking parts. Like, oh my God, it's so hard.
Dude, you know what's so crazy? I can throw the instructions away and just build IKEA furniture from memory now. That's how much furniture I build. All right, so moving on. We're not talking about IKEA because fuck IKEA right now. They don't pay us shit. The MTGO Community Cup team was announced. Mr. Scotty Mac, he made the fucking team.
Fuck yes!
Which is awesome. Yep.
Big old round of applause for that motherfucker.
Yep.
I'm excited for him.
And Frank Lepore, this is like, I gotta say, this is one hell of a frickin' community team. Day 9, which...
Chomp Wizard's ass this year.
Oh, they're gonna cry. Like, Tom Ross? Day 9? Scotty? Bourne Anderson? Whoever that is? I don't know, Daleb Trinknar, who doesn't have a vowel in his last name? I don't know who that is. Maria, Team Panda, that's cool. Paul Cheon and Frank Lepore. If you guys, you know what, in all honesty, if you guys don't win... This is pathetic. This is worse than the Smitty failure.
I'm gonna be upset.
Like large. Like this looks like a stacked team. I think it's awesome. What's the worst thing though? Or I guess the wickedest thing. It's hard to say because I'm not the one playing with them. But they're gonna get to build. They're gonna draft modern or vintage masters on Modo, and then they're gonna rebuild their decks in real paper cards.
What?
So yeah, that's one of the crazy events. So. How sick is that? You draft a modern deck, and then you get to actually play with the paper cards? What? Oh, my God. That's fucking epic. So, you guys are going to have a blast, man. That is going to be fun times.
Hell yeah. I'm going to have the TV on, rooting for fucking Scotty. All excited.
I actually really like the Community Cup. I like the streams they do. I thought it was really interesting. I hope they step it up a little more from last year, but... I mean, shit. Now, if they're gonna draft a vintage masters and then play it in paper, at least we won't have to look at the fucking MTGO screen the whole freaking time.
Oh,
that'd be cool, you know? Like, we could set up like a real, like, I don't know, GP stream or something kind of thing and actually play tables with announcers. So that's, That's going to be fun times, man. I'm going to have to learn some more about who's on the other. Who's on the Wizards team? Does anyone know? TSG, do you know?
I have no idea.
They usually rotate through people because, obviously, all the guys that work there really want to play because you don't, as a Wizards employee, you don't have the opportunity to play in sanctioned events. But you kind of have to... You kind of have to balance it from the Wizards' perspective. Like, if they get too many ex-pro pro tour players, they'll usually let people that don't really play Magic at all also on the team. Except if Aaron Forsythe's there, he really tries to win. So depends. Oh, yeah. It depends. But it's a pretty diverse crowd for them. They try to make it just how they try to make the community side, where it's a sprinkling of pro tour players, a lot of enthusiastic casuals. And then some faces like Day 9.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about, like, the community kept, like, picking Day 9 and I don't know. I think that's a little – there's a lot more people that give back to the community than Day 9.
Oh, come on, man. We're not going to have this conversation again about how many people turned into the pro tour when he was on the stream.
Hey, man, I'm not going anywhere. I get the cross promotion. I'm just saying. Like, there's other people, man. Anyways, whatever. I guess it's next year. Vote for the people you want in.
I can say I do. I think that works well. I think it works well when it's like, okay, you know, you've got a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You don't have a bunch of streamers, a bunch of like hardcore Moto streamers that are just playing Magic all fucking the time. But you also don't have a bunch of fucking nerd celebrities that don't really know much about the game. Like, it's a nice little sprinkling of, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, bring Day 9 in to maybe, you know, pull some of the other nerds that for some reason are nerds but aren't into this game. Like,
That's the only important question to ask is who should make up this team? Should it be people that exclusively push MTGO and talk about how great of a platform and game it is? Should it be every reaching corner of Magic the Gathering as far as, active community people, who should really be on that team? Because it's moved away from just Magic Online contributions,
right.
It's community now. It's community more than it is MTGO. Anyways, it's cool. I think it's going to be awesome. Look forward to seeing.
I see from their point of view that actually making sense, too, because rather than taking people that are just – I mean, I get at its, you know – the purity of it just being Moto driven and Moto centric. Yeah. But I mean, you already have like the people that are, if you have a team full of people that are, you know, basically just streaming or Magic Online celebrities, so to speak, you're not going to draw anybody new into Moto. You basically have, you know, the people that know who those people are and the people that are watching the event are at that point going to be just Moto enthusiast.
Look, you know what you want to do next year? Here's what we do. Eight professional programmers versus Wizards. That, if you want to fix MTGO, how about that? That would be awesome.
No shit.
20 minutes in, they stop streaming and they start coding. And they're like, I can't play on this. I'm going to just start coding. Yeah. They he just pulls up Notepad, starts typing in, you know, freaking Cobalt language. Anyways, SDCC, man, San Diego Comic-Con was last weekend and I have never been more jealous of not going in my entire life. Fuck, I don't know how. You know, Vegas was awesome, Portland's gonna be insane, but you know, and whatever we do the Heavy Meta GP, but Jesus Christ, man, we have to, all three of us have to get to one of those, because that looked insane.
I mean, yeah, I'd love to go to Comic-Con, but it actually has nothing to do with Magic.
Who cares? Yeah. Hey, what do you mean it has so much to do with Magic? It's everything.
It is everything. I desperately want to go. I'd love to go as press, but I will definitely go as one of those people laughing at everyone else standing in line for things and just enjoy the giant hall for 4 days. That would be amazing.
Oh, man, are you kidding? I will make us up press badges. We will be there as part of face-to-face. Oh, I will get us in. We actually, you know what? That is actually real. We'll get a camera. We'll get Marcel down there. He could be our sound guy with a big boom. We all look important. We just rush the security. They'll let us in.
I like it. And, like, what do we have to lose? I mean, like, seriously, like, me, Marcel, and TSG all live in California, so like, oh well.
Yeah, I'm the short star.
if we don't make it in, it's like, oh man, I guess we're gonna go home. And Maddie's like, fuck, man, I live in a different country.
Yeah, we fly all the way down there. 20 minutes in to try to get in, we're arrested. They're like, where do you live? Fucking Canada. I'm like, fuck, man. Anyways, we got so much stuff. So let's start off from the top of the bat. Karns of Trarkir. We got a video. We got release cards. Like, where do we start? I guess let's break down the panel first. So let's start with From the Vault Annihilation, which I guess we've been hearing about for the last 6 months now.
I mean, I would say heard about in a past tense. An announcement was made, and then it was radio silence up until this last weekend. And then they just kind of are slowly confirming a lot of the things that we had thought we had seen of spoilers earlier. I mean, I don't know how excited people aren't about getting a new artwork on Wrath of God.
Which sucks.
Another printing of Living Death is actually pretty sweet. A new artwork and a foil copy of Cataclysm for the first time ever. The millionth printing of Armageddon. And then, personally for me, exciting is finally a black border copy of Rolling Earthquake. Those are the cards that we have been 100% confirmed. It's just so weird with this product, because it's not, wide release, major market for everybody. How much titillating can you really do with it? I mean, are the collectors out there excited about this product? I'm lukewarm to it currently.
Yeah, honestly, I was kind of more excited when I first heard about it. But I was hoping, Damnation was in there. That's the one. If Damnation isn't in it, or Wasteland, or Karn, I think they need something. So far, what they've spoiled doesn't, I don't give a shit.
Would you live with an Emrakul? Would you like that?
I don't think an Emrakul is that exciting. I don't know.
Largest creature in all of Magic's history. Not that exciting. Yeah, okay.
But I get it. It's Annihilation. It had Annihilator. I get it. And that's cool. If Emrakul's in it, I think that's a great idea, right? It's cool. It's just, I don't know. That's great. I think that would be cool. But
I mean, I gotta say, I think I've warmed up to this product more than when it was first announced, because that tagline, that title, and that genre of card, I guess, wasn't super exciting to me.
Here's the question. How many cards do we get? 15?
You get 15. We're back to 15.
Okay, so we've got 10 more cards to be spoiled. So, yeah, there's still a lot of room, right? There's still a lot of shitty spells, though. What worries me is, Armageddon, Wrath of God, that 1-2 punch was going to be in there, because that's just the classic
spell.
I think
because they put those in there, that's why we know we're not getting Damnation, which kind of bums me out.
Yeah, but it's Annihilation. Why wouldn't I guess. I don't know. That sucks. I really was hoping for Damnation. I think that that one for Cube.
If they rolled Wrath of God, Armageddon, and Damnation in the same set, I think it would be awesome. But I don't think they're going to, because they gave us Wrath of God and Armageddon. So.
Yeah. I'm
still gonna pick one of these up, because I mean, there's plenty of shit to go in my Cube in it. I'll pick the ones that actually will go in.
That's the right attitude to have.
It's cool. I just still don't. I hope they change the foiling process on these, because, man, I really don't. I don't even like getting these anymore, because they're so obvious in the Cube.
I've moved to learn to not hate it. I think that's right.
And see, I guess with your point, Maddie, I can't really bitch too much, because in my Cube, there's I've got proxies in my Cube and stuff like that, and it's you can tell.
I can't tell.
Those you can tell.
No, you can't.
Those motherfuckers are thick.
Yeah, with the full foil ones. Proxy does the non-foil ones, so right. my Geist of Saint Traft, I can't tell. It's gorgeous.
That's true, I guess. I think it's, my foil proxies, you can tell that it's one of those.
Well, the foil proxies are the same as the From the Vault. They're super thick. They're curved. I don't like them. Anyways, let's move on, because we've bashed Annihilation enough. I think it's cool, whatever. What's the price on this? $39?
Whatever the MSRP is, you're lucky to get that. I think it was $39.99 for the From the Vault 20, because I had 5 bonus cards in it. I believe this one is $34.99 US MSRP.
So $70 probably at your local LGS. Alright,
depends on how nice they are, kind of thing. You never know, but I would expect that.
I know where I'm gonna get one if I want one.
When is this releasing?
August 22nd.
I hope 3 weeks. Got its 4 weeks. Open by August 22nd.
Get them. Come on, Moline. All right, so SDC exclusive promos, sweeter shit. We talked about these before, but now I get to see them with the high-res artwork. Jay Lee did them, and the artwork is cool. Jay Lee is a very, his style is very unique, I guess you'd call it. So either some people love it, they hate it. Regardless of the artwork, what do we think? Cool, not cool?
This whole Nerf tie-in is kind of breaking my balls. It means shipping these sets back and forth is very costly. So it's cutting into my margins, which I'm not too excited about.
The Nerf axe is like probably what I like the most out of that set.
We need more people like you, because I really want to unload those to people. How much would you like one for? Because I could put a name on it for you.
$10. I don't think I can part with it for that much. I will be ripping that open and battling.
How about we just do this? Yeah, like I just want the axe. Like you could keep the fucking planeswalkers. Like
yeah, and like here's the thing is like I would bring it to Portland to have fun with if it wasn't a pain in the ass to move around.
Is it that big?
Right. It's needlessly large. Let's put it that way.
That's what she said.
I was gonna say that's what my wife tells me all the time, but she's not talking about my penis. She's talking about the one big testicle. Is all.
So here's the thing. Today, a few people tweeted on the social medias. Apparently, they are going live today sometime on the Hasbro site.
It did not happen today. The Wednesday after Comic-Con was when they were put on the Hasbro site last year. So people are still a little hesitant to drop big bucks on this product because they don't know how many more are going to be released into the wild, because obviously we hear that there are going to be a lot more of them this year than there were from the previous year's run. But I think what a lot of people are overlooking at their monetary value is the fact that you're getting 6 Planeswalkers this year as opposed to 5, and you're getting effectively this free axe once you figure out how to ship it for less than $20. That's really the problem. So I think there's a ton of value in these sets, and if I was sitting on a lot of...
Kevin,
what was that?
Do you think UPS got in on this?
I hope they did. I mean, the US, USPS, like, sponsored the Spider-Man movie. You'd think, like, FedEx would want to be there for Wizards of the Coast and be like, hey, you make some awkwardly sized packages.
If you make this thing huge and weird shaped, make us the money and we'll just kick you down.
So currently on eBay, they're going for just under $400. On Hasbro's site, what were they? Is it $99?
The retail one is going to be like $110.99.
$110. Okay, so
it went up from the $69.99 from last year because you're getting a $30 or $40 foam axe.
$40 foam axe. There we go, boys.
You know, again, but again, people that are interested in picking them up for their EDH decks, their cubes or whatever, I do recommend getting in on them immediately because there's a ton of value there. The singles are already selling online for anywhere between 90 to 130 to even 140 for some of them a piece. People are trying to get 200 for the Liliana because that's probably the best artwork out of all of them, objectively. But regardless, if you've got some magic capital you're sitting on, if I had more, I'd definitely be buying up a lot more of these things now. I think they're great value. And granted, I don't think they look as good as last year's, but...
I don't either.
I mean, maybe this artist is going to carry it further. I do not know him very well.
Yeah, I think that the big impact is going to be on the cosplay scene. I think this has nothing to do with fucking magic at all. Like, now you're going to see everybody dressed as Garrick because they've already got the axe and it's a good jump off point. It's like a fucking event deck for cosplaying.
I like that analogy. I'll definitely put those in my next listing. You need these.
You need this if you want to get started in cosplay.
Are you a cosplayer?
You just need to be huge, have a beard.
Welcome to the Magic the Gathering cosplay pre-con.
Exactly. No, I think that they really could have gone, especially with like just the collectability to these, because it is such a limited run. It's the black on black planeswalkers. I feel like instead of giving you all of the planeswalkers that are in standard, I get the fact that, you know, it's released with the new set and they're kind of trying to tie it in there. I just feel like they should have given you some other planeswalkers, any other fucking planeswalkers except for the ones that are in standard.
Oh, right, but now so many of them are so new this time around, Kevy. Come on.
Yeah, you got Nyssa. I mean, here's the problem with this. A few people have pointed this out. Wizards likes to do things that work. So every year, if you don't think they're going to do this again, and they're going to milk the shit out of this, how original are these anymore? That's like, my big worry is, okay, so how many times are they going to do this? Like in 3 years, when every year, every time there's an SDCC version, I think they're going to go down. So, you know, if you want to buy them and sell them and flip it, sure. If you want to keep them just because you love it, that's cool. But I don't know about holding these on for long money.
I'm trying to next level these motherfuckers, and I'm having fucking Brandon Long is doing up my Power 9 in white on white. because I know that's coming at some point.
Yeah, they're gonna flip it. Yeah, you know, what's the matter with the black cards, Gibby? No, so the even bigger announcement, so those, I mean, so far we've covered the shitty announcements, in my opinion.
The shitty announcements.
I kind of ordered them by level of importance, I feel like.
You did a great job. His show notes are, like, astounding. They're like a shaved scrotum, they're that good.
It's like we have a secretary or something, but he's so
I don't know if I should be insulted or if I should be excited for professionals in the workplace, regardless of gender.
Well, what I was going to finish with is, like, he's like a secretary, but so much more than a secretary. He's like the secretary that runs the office and does all the
I was expecting that sentence to end with, and also gives out handies.
And also gives out handies. I was getting to that.
Legally, we cannot request those anymore, Kevy.
Speaking of handies, I saw somebody post this thing on Twitter that said, you know, the number one question is how to give a good hand job, and the number one answer is use your mouth. And I like that.
that's a good one. I like that. That's good. So let's talk. The big announcement, I think, even more than Karn's, is we have got. I mean, the commander scene.
We didn't even talk about Karns.
Well, we're going to talk about Karns in a minute.
We talked about From the Vault.
Yeah, we're going to get there. Don't worry. But so, Commander, we've got five new Commander decks coming out. We got the first one spoiled, the blue one. For the first time ever, you get to use
Teferi.
Yeah, and is he awesome? Of course. He's fucking absurd. He's only, what, Legacy, which I don't know if he'll see any play in any format besides Commander, but awesome. I think he's cube worthy. I totally would play this in cube. I think it's awesome. My only problem, and many people know, I'm not a huge fan of Commander. I do play it. But when you're playing with people, I guess your play group, it depends on what rules you make, but the general rules of playing of Commander is that you can't use Planeswalkers for your Commanders. But now you can. So,
well, apparently, no, you can just use this one.
Exactly. And I know many people I'm going to have an argument with. They're like, well, you're using one, so I can use one. And, I mean, sure, you can say, hey, our group allows it, doesn't allow it. I get all that. Commander's for open forum. You can do whatever you want. I just feel like either Wizards should just be like, okay, well, they're now legal. Planeswalkers are now legal as Commander, and just leave it at that.
I think the reason they didn't do that is so that, like, there's already been a ton of Planeswalkers printed.
Yeah,
in
so they could
history.
Sell these. Yeah, I get
it. Well, what I'm saying is then all of a sudden, like, that makes it, like, I don't really give a shit about EDH or Commander, but I would assume that the reason they weren't legal as Commanders before is because there are probably a few of them out there that could just bust the fuck out of that format.
Then you just ban those few. Come on, man.
I don't.
Well, yeah, I guess you could go as far as banning those couple, but instead they're like, "Oh, hey, we can just keep this under control by flat out printing the text on the card that says you can use this as your commander."
I'll look in the games I've played. Nothing lives. Like a planeswalker will not live as your commander. Like you're gonna pay whatever your planeswalker costs. You're gonna trip the first or second ability, which are usually like mediocre, and then he's dead. So I really don't see it being an issue. I would just say
I haven't dug super deep on this, but I feel like if you made it so that you could have a planeswalker be your commander in the format across the board, it would just make people happy.
Yeah.
And if we ended up finding some unfortunate dark corner of combo or something, it would be quickly taken care of because again, so many people play the format, it would be dredged out. Now, the problem we make here is that newer players see maybe Planeswalker cards for the first time in these precons and start to make assumptions that you can play all the Planeswalkers, and that's just going to lead to some, hopefully just some feel bads and not some people buying some singles to try to play in their decks and they get the real feel bads that they can't use as their generals.
Now, the only broken thing that I've heard so far is doubling season and any Planeswalker usually means ultimate pretty quickly. So there is that broken thing already that exists. But I would argue you could do that anyways, and it happens all the fucking time in Commanders. So I don't know. I don't think it's that crazy.
I mean, I think this announcement has the most impact on me in that I don't own enough copies of Doubling Season to sell in the winter. I think that's that's really how much it affects me.
There you go. But what do you think about, like, the commander, like, monocolor commander decks. I think
that it's a great idea, and the way that you draw in a lot of the casual players that don't like quote-unquote monocolor decks is you really take advantage of these iconic Planeswalker cards. If it was up to me, you'd have Jaya Ballard, the Planeswalker. You'd have Sarah, the Angel, the Planeswalker.
Urza. Come on, Urza.
Going a bit far, but
If they don't,
he's not monocolor either, in my opinion. But that's fine. You can do whatever you want there.
Well, maybe he's old and he died, and then he's monocolor. I don't know. Like
Gaia, the Planeswalker. Sure. I think there's a lot of opportunities there to. Again, you want to capture the old and the new player with these products, and a lot of the ways that the Commander products have been kind of circumventing that is to print a lot of cards that were really key for the format. Things like Command Tower, things like
Sol Ring.
Sure, but I'm saying like newer cards.
Oh, new cards,
newer cards that help offset like mana constraints and you know the importance of things like dual lands on your mana base. Yep. So if you're printing monocolored decks, you're not going to have the opportunity to print new lands for these players. You're going to need to do something else for them. So I think that bringing in a lot of great nostalgia picks is one great way to do it. Obviously, I have enough faith in the people to make this product that there will be something else there to drive players to buy it. But on the surface, that's what I would like and expect to see.
I'm hoping we get good rare, common, and uncommon reprints of some of the really expensive shit from the old days that everybody uses in Eternal formats. That's what I'm hoping.
I was just going to ask about that. Do you see, like, any sort of application for, like, Teferi in Eternal format?
I think that card's terrible, but that's just me.
New art brainstorms, throw those in there.
Oh, because we haven't had that
card either.
Get another, but they're so expensive. Just get that shit in there. Get Spell Snare in there. Get all of that blue goodness, man. I love it. That's cool. I think these are awesome. I'm excited to see where they're going to go.
All I heard is just a bunch of garbled language come out of you just now.
I know. It was all blue. Wait till we see what the red...
Maddie, your girls are learning how to play Magic still, correct?
Yeah, they can play generic, like, planes or duels kind of Magic, you know?
Sure, but they're getting there. Now, do you have any of the duel decks in your home?
I did have the Elves versus which one? Yeah, I bought that one a long time ago, but we don't play that one. I basically built them their own. You know, they went through my collection and just picked out all the horses and angels.
So no love for the dual decks in your own home?
I mean, I bought the Elspeth versus Tezzeret decks just because I wanted the foil Elspeth artwork. I thought it was fucking gorgeous. I have those. I played the decks. I thought they played kind of cool. I think they're interesting. Again, I've touched on this before. I built the Guild Wars basically decks, which I find way more funner, synergistic, play better, and in my opinion are like the best. They're way better than dual decks because it's like all identified. You know what your guild does, a single mechanic, it's like so much better. So when people come over, I just say, pick a guild. We got 10. And everybody loves it because you can play Izzet. You don't want to play Izzet anymore. Play frickin' Azorius now. Like, and you can go through the night with those 10 decks and like 4 or 5 people. So I'm not a huge consumer of the dual decks unless there's reprints in there that like, for me, I can put in my queue.
So you're one of those guys, you're looking to break them down anyway. You're not looking to keep them together as a particular set and play with them in the long term. You're just looking for value inside those things.
Every time I bought them, I've played them to see how they play, and I've never been like, wow, that was really fun. Most times I don't know, maybe the newer stuff is better, but some of the older stuff, like, what was the Sorin versus Tibalt. We bought that for jokes, and it was horrible. It was garbage. It did not play good.
I recommend you steer clear of a lot of these reprints coming up because Sorin versus Tibalt is one of the more balanced of those sets.
Oh my god, really?
Well, I mean, I can tell you that there was a while there where they were being kind of assembled by people that didn't really get it, I feel like. I mean, I don't want to put too fine of a point on it here. But in late 2012, I think Izzet versus Golgari was kind of the first one to have the new direction of dual decks that are much more balanced and intended to be better play than
that's
kind of just riffing
have.
On a theme and having a lot of random cards inserted in them.
Yeah, what was the fire one?
Are you talking about
lightning?
Jace versus Chandra?
No,
are you talking about premium decks, fire and lightning?
Is that what they were? Yeah, I can't.
That's
a separate
premium. Yeah.
Oh, okay, never mind. Never mind.
That's the badass decks, or supposed to be badass decks. What, there was like Fire and Lightning and then Graveborn. I think those were the only two they did, right?
Yeah,
that Slivers one at first. They thought it was going to be a fun, and it wasn't. So it kind of threw the whole process off kilter.
So check out these dual decks. We've got a Karn's Karn, or I guess whatever. I guess he's the...
Karn?
He's a Helms Smasher, or whatever it is. So Zergal Helms Smasher is our rare or mythic rare for one of the sets. You've already jumped ahead to
the newest one, right?
Yeah, well, that is the one we're talking about, right?
Oh, I was saying in December they're reprinting the first four dual decks.
Oh, shit, you're right. Okay, yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, a lot of people have said it isn't interesting from a gameplay standpoint.
You know how I know it wasn't? Because you didn't start the sentence with, I have to be honest, or I'll be honest. Because that's how Maddie always starts
sentences,
he's being honest. Otherwise, I'm not so sure.
You know I'm lying when I say, no, I think it's interesting that it's, what, $700 was the number of, like, potential value in those sets before reprinting, and now you can get it for whatever Walmart is going to sell for, $60 or something.
Yeah, I'm lost. Which one are we talking about?
We're talking about
the fact that in December they're reprinting Elves versus Goblins, Jace versus Chandra, Divine versus Demonic, and Garrick versus Liliana. Now, of those four, the Divine versus Demonic had the biggest hits in it because people really sought the new alternate artwork on a Chroma Angel of Wrath, as well as another black-bordered edition of Demonic Tutor, which was a pretty big deal in the time. I think these decks are pretty fun. You know, Jace versus Chandra already got another reprinting another time around. I think Garrick versus Liliana was actually really short-printed, but didn't have that much firepower in it initially, but I think it's a great one to play. I'm excited that people are going to get their hands on these again and hope that they have new life in them, but I do think that the later ones in the series are better, which brings us to the present and where Maddie was trying to talk about 2 minutes ago before we cut him off.
Well, jumping quickly on the anthology thing, I think it's a really good move for Wizards. Like, that's great. Perfect box kind of set for in the $50 to $70 range. Four decks. I could easily see casuals saying, wow, these decks look like fun. Elves versus God, like, it's going to totally resonate with it, and it reprints cards. Like, that's what we need. The more reprints we see, the better. I love it. So from a positive standpoint, I think it's great. Will I buy them? Nope. But I'm not their target market, so that's kind of like the way I look at it. And frankly, you know, this whole hoarding of dual decks, what people used to do, just sit on them and, oh, you never can lose value. Well, don't do that. So I think it's a good precedent by Wizards as well to kind of punish people who are hoarding cards and say, like, guys, you know, like, this is what we're going to do. Hey, hoard. No, well, go ahead. Hoard them. We're going to reprint them. And if they release them in Walmart and not at LGSs, that's going to make a fucking difference. So wicked. I think that's a good move. But moving on to the new one, this actually looks really interesting. I thought this Speed versus Cunning, I think we made fun of it several episodes ago when we were like, what kind of fucking name is that?
That's got to be wrong. I don't think we make fun of things on this show.
No, we tell the absolute truth. But this looks really cool. Everyone talks about Zergal Helm Smasher, which is one of the new cards from Karns, but this Arcanist the Omnipotent... Omnipotent?
Wow. Maddie, it's Karns. You gotta stop saying this or people are going to think it's a whole set full of Karns.
Karns! Karns! It's like the Palladian issue again, man.
I also like how the word omnipotent doesn't exist in Canadian language or culture.
No, it doesn't. only the beavers are omnipotent up here.
It's omnipotent up there.
Yeah, it's omnipotent. There you go. I can pronounce
the most
that.
Potent.
The most. This is an interesting card. I mean, 6 mana... Basically, draw 3 cards. That's
you do know that is a reprint, though, right?
Is it?
It's from Onslaught originally.
Well, I missed that block.
10th edition. It was like it was actually in Tournament Magic. It was the first card that you actually courted of calling for back in the day.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Courted of calling.
Yes.
There you go.
That's a new phrase in the English.
Rode that to victory.
I think it's cool. I mean, that's definitely an interesting card.
Since we're doing a backwards. Fucking episode, backwards segue into Paul Keon, who's on the Community Cup.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure we'll talk about that later, or maybe we already did. I don't even know now. But
we don't even know what direction we're going at this point. I love it. I am actually like, if we were drunk enough, I would be interested to see us go through this list to about halfway and then start covering the topics that we already covered in reverse.
No. We won't do that tonight. But let's talk about this one of the Carnes. Cons, damn it, fuck. Okay, the cons. No, right, cons.
Maddie,
wait,
Maddie,
cons.
Are you a Star Trek fan at all?
Am I what?
Are you a Star Trek fan at all?
Not
cons.
Really.
Cons! Yeah, cons. Yeah,
I know, I just have to remember.
now just think there's multiple of him. There's cons, plural.
Cons. God damn it, Khan. Let's talk about him for a second, because this is, I guess, what we're going to see out of this Wedge set as our mythics. We're probably going to get a whole set of these. Five mana.
Before you go too deep, man.
Okay.
You're a huge Vorthos, right?
I am a huge Vorthos. I'm a dirty, huge Vorthos.
Now, did you just lose it when you saw this card's creature type?
No. It's cool that they're orcs.
No.
Come on, orcs are back in Magic, man. That's a huge fucking deal.
Is it? I don't even know if it is anymore. I mean, if I saw dwarves, okay, that would be mind-blowing. But orcs, like, yeah, they're cool. I mean, I get it.
So in summation, orcs are no dwarves. That's all you have to say?
I'm saying, like, dwarves are this mythical thing they don't even touch anymore. So it's like,
orcs were in that same boat for a while. So,
yeah, because
all
they're
these
goblins,
orcs,
right?
Enthusiasts out there are probably, you know, raising their sabers that they're going to be back soon, or there'll be riots. I don't know. Yeah. And I would imagine the dwarves would be the official creature type of the SVU.
Do you think orcs would be the official creature type? I don't know.
No, dwarves.
Definitely dwarves.
Oh, dwarves? Yeah.
Because they're midgets. Just with beards. They're old midgets. I think that's what dwarves are. Aren't they old
midgets? Beards and axes.
Yeah, I think beings... Like normal size ones, they become senior citizens. Midgets become dwarves.
You know what, Titi? I gotta cut you off. Remember, midgets aren't humans. Let's just be very clear about that. They're lead dense meat sacks. Now, so Zerg Helm Smasher is pretty cool. Five mana, wedge colors, two colorless. He's the red, white, black wedge, which we'll talk about their names in a second, because I'm gonna be positive right now before we talk about their names.
Yeah, you're positive right now.
So he's got haste. He attacks each turn as able, and when he attacks, he's got indestructible. So they're really telling you to attack with this fucking thing. I get it, Wizards. Whenever a creature's dealt damage, he gets a +1 and dies. He gets a +1/+1 counter. He's only 7/2, so I mean, I could see definitely this is gonna be a playable card. Sounds really cool. I could see this draft. This is going to be amazing. I could even see this in standard. The only problem is it is kind of fragile. Like, you know, when it's not your turn, bam.
Bite him in the ankle.
Yeah, like two he's going to get. Like he could be shocked.
Substandard burn spells take care of him.
Yeah, like that's a little weird. Like the two toughness seems bizarre as shit. Like, okay, these guys are the cons and they're so powerful. And he's got two toughness? Oops! A fucking meteorite hit him.
See, what it is like, I get it. Like, you cast him on your turn. He's got haste, and he's gonna fucking swing for 7. But, like, and he's got, like, he's indestructible. So you can't drop him. If you drop him, you can swing that turn, and that's that. Like, they can't fucking deal with it. It's just, like, once you get through... And through that turn, then yeah, you can shock him. Like, he's just fucking, like, I like the flavor of it. Like, he's this big, gnarly fucking idiot that can just bash your head in, but as long as you can fucking get through that turn and through your, like, you know, say I cast this, as long as you can get through my turn, then, like, you could bite him in the ankle and he'll
follow. I feel he needed, like, trample or something. Cause a 7/2 that you can just chump block and then fucking kill, like, and what's worse about him is he can't block. So, like, let's say you're in trouble, he's only got 2 power.
See, that's the thing though, is like, you know, like for instance, like you chump block it and then he gains 1/1 because that thing's probably gonna die because he's got 7 power. So if you chump block it, like the thing that you chump blocked it with is gonna die and then he gets 1/1. So now he's a fucking 8/3.
I don't know if the stacking works like that. I think they both take damage at the same time, right?
Whenever a creature dealt damage by Zergo Hellmaster this turn dies, put a 1-1 counter on him. So
yeah,
like
he'll figure after combat.
Exactly. So your damage is dealt, and then he goes to the graveyard, so he'd get the 1-1, but he's already dead.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, isn't he indestructible on your turn?
Yeah, he's indestructible on the turn, and so then now...
Yeah, on your turn, but if he's blocking, right? Like, that's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, sorry. What I'm saying is if you drop this guy and you swing in with him, and, like... then your opponent chump blocks him to keep that 7 from coming through. Now he's an 8-3.
So he's a worse desecration demon? Right? Like that's the way I look at it. He's one more mana and he doesn't have evasion.
He's a worse desecration demon.
You guys have already given this guy way more chatter than I definitely would have intended him to have.
No, I feel the same way, to be honest with you. It was like as soon as this like came up and I started reading the card, because I'm good at being prepared for this show, I was like, wait a second, there's some things that could happen here. But I honestly was just I was more interested in Arcanist, like the new art in Arcanist, than I was for the red, white, black guy.
I feel exactly the same way, Kevy.
Okay, so as far as like, we're not going to waste any more time on Kung Fu Panda here, because this entire set, like when I saw the art, I instantly was just like, this is fucking Kung Fu Panda. So Jack Black, we have to get him on the show when Cons comes out, because this is Kung Fu Panda Land. That's what this set is, man. It's awesome. Yeah, I think it's cool.
I've been telling you since we found out we were going back to fucking Ravnica that we were going to start doing this fucking cycle of let's go revisit a plane, then let's have a new plane, then let's revisit a plane, then let's, you know, have a new plane. And I was like, watch, we're going to do like some Kamigawa shit or something like that. And this is the closest they could have possibly come to going, let's return to Ravnica, then let's have a new set, Theros, or a new plane, and then let's return to something else. And everybody's like, well, where are we going to return to? I was like, I don't know, Kamigawa or something. And this is fucking going back to Kamigawa.
That was the largest stretch from 2 points that... Dude, that is so not true. I mean, they're...
Tell me that Kazakhstan here at a completely Asian-themed set is not going back
to Kamigawa. It's not Asian. It's Mongolian. I know that maybe like drug struck.
It's Mongolia.
They're not the same. Anyways,
Mongolia.
Mongolia is in... I think I did. But where the fuck is Mongolia? It's in Asia. Or it was.
Oh my goodness. We apologize to all our Mongolian listeners.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. Bunch of goddamn Mongols.
So what do we, look, here's the biggest thing, obviously, that, you know, when they announced Wedges, I was like, yeah, like, this is hype. Me and TSG did a bit of a live Skype chat, and I was hammered and hype. The full hype train was on, that whole thing.
Yeah, he thinks it was live. I was actually taped ahead of time.
Oh, I hope we taped. Because yeah, I was just, like, freaking out about everything. But when they announced the names, I would literally, I cried.
Yeah, like, I could, like, feel Maddie losing his heart on 3,000 miles away. It was really awkward.
Mardu? Come on. Mardu. So Junk is Abzan. I'm going to rate these on 1 out of 10. That's a 0. Red, white, blue, Jeskai? 0. Sultai for Bug? 0. Mardu?
He doesn't wait for the Russian judge. He just goes right through.
Mardu is -2. For white, black, white, red, whatever the fuck. And Teemer for Rug. 0. Like, these are dumb names. I'm in branding. This is what I do. You look at those original decks. Bant, Jund, Esper. They are brilliant names. These names are all block associated, which Wizards says they don't do. Like, they should have made these more generic, simpler names, more catchy. I don't like these. If you take Cons as this, hey, it's a single set, it's enclosed, it doesn't impact Magic, these are great names. They're very flavorful. I'm sure it fits the tribes. It's going to be sweet. It's Vorthos up the ass. Looking at Magic in terms of waiting to see frickin' one of the announcers, I know Marshall is going to be like, and here we have Abzan Control or Geist Jeskai. You know, Scotty Mac battling Geist Jeskai against, you know, Tarmogoyf Teemer. That's dumb. So as far as like what it's going to do for naming decks, I think these are an absolute 0 out of 10 fail.
I think you gave it more credit than it deserves. I don't even think I don't think in the block these names even fit because none of these sound Eastern Asian at all. Whatsoever.
Yeah. Yes, they do. What are you talking about? Sultai, Mardu, they sound
like,
good.
Literally, these sound like fucking like Middle Eastern words a lot more than they sound like Asian words.
Like, regardless of their origin, as long as they're consistent through the block, then at least it should match there. But it's context beyond. I mean, I think when you first introduced the shard names, I don't know exactly how excited everyone was to say Esper. I mean, I don't.
I agree. Like, they got to grow on you, sure. But, I mean, I just. Bant. Like, it's just such a Jund. It's so simple. I don't know. These names feel.
They already have names. They are. And the thing is, like, I'm not sure why they. Like, the other wedges stuck, and these, of course, I just don't like. But, like, the other wedges, like, those, or was it the friendly wedges? Those stuck. And there's already names for all five of these wedges.
Yeah, from the last time. But they were horrible, too.
Right, that's what I'm saying, is, like, I'm not quite sure. But those ones were closer to, like, Jund and Esper and whatnot, like Raka and Dega and shit like that. They were a lot closer in form to the popular, like the friendly wedge names. So I don't know what it is about all of us that don't like having names for this fucking, for the unfriendly or the enemy wedges or whatever you want to call them.
Mardu. I don't know, like, come on. Like,
the last time they tried to do this, like, it didn't work, like, for these wedges. And this time it doesn't seem to work either. I don't know why it is that we can't good names for the enemy wedges, but like for some reason the friendly wedges stuck, and it's no problem.
I mean, I guess we're spoiled because bug, blue, you know, green, rug, like they're just straightforward, simple names, very easy to remember what colors they are. So yeah, maybe, except for that one, like Mardu and Jeskai. Those two, like, just never have had good names, you know. I still think Junk is a fine name for...
Yeah, I do like Junk better than Adzan.
Yeah, like, I don't know. And that, Mardu, like...
That sounds like fucking allergy medicine.
It does! Like, these are all... I swear to God, okay, if you were going to pick products, right, is this a Wedge Clan or is this something else? Adzan sounds like some weird allergy medicine, you know, or a foot cream. You know, like, you got any Adzan, man? You know, like, that's it. And Jeskai, like, what is that? Some juggling school in Poland? Like, like, yeah, come now to the Jeskai juggling school. Like, I don't get it. And Sultai? Sultai sounds like some weird, like, Asian deep fried dish. I'd love another bowl of Sultai, please. And Mardu is just like a name for a dog. Like, Marmaduke? Like, I don't get that one. Mardu? Like, did your dog just Mardu all over the floor? Yes, it did. And Teemer is just like some. That's like some crazy sidekick character from a Disney film.
I'm telling you, it makes me think of fucking Timon and Pumbaa.
It does, right? That's what I'm going to see. Someone altered that shit.
Like, wasn't he like a lemur? And his name was Timon? So they're just all, like, they literally, I think they were drinking again. And they just came up with this shit while they were hammered. And it probably made sense in the 3-hour conversation that they were having at the bar. But when they just release it to the world, it doesn't make sense anymore.
So, but
this is where TSG graciously backs out so that his name isn't marred by the things that we have to say.
Like, don't think so highly, sir. I just don't have anything to say. I mean, you guys popped off about these shitty names enough. We all get it. I mean, they're not great. No one's in love with them today. And if you had said them to me outside of the Magic Realm, I never would have put two and two together that they would ever be associated with the card.
But it's more fun when you start saying things that may get you a bunch of flack on Twitter later the next day.
So let's move on, because Karns does, the art looks amazing. The trailer was pretty cool. We got to see Sarkhan with it looked like a piece of a Eldrazi temple or some type of weird stone on the end of his staff, which implies that the first block is future or current time. Because this
first
block,
set of the block,
yeah, right,
yeah.
You tell me.
Well, that's what I think. Like, there's a time trial element that they teased us.
Yeah,
and
I mean, talk about things that are as stupid as the names of these.
Come on. Now, see, that's where I like it. I think this could be really well done.
I know. You got your heart on back with the whole concept of time travel in a magic set.
What? Time travel was amazing in magic. This could be done. Look. We could finally
they say that, and literally it's going to be one bad blue card. They'll let you play your last turn over again.
Yeah, you go back in time. How cool would that be, man? Reverse stop the draft, throw your cards away, and start again. But I think the whole time travel, from a Vorthos perspective, Sarkhan Vol looks like he's future Sarkhan, post Eldrazi. So. Maybe he didn't go mad. Maybe he kind of found a way to survive, which looks really cool. Or maybe he's just really fucking crazy now. And this is his whole, he goes back in time to try and right the wrong. You know, because that's the way I think they're going to move this set is, why did the dragons disappear? So maybe after seeing dragons, he now goes back and he's, planeswalking back in time.
He now goes back and he's a blonde girl with three dragon eggs.
that'd be kind of cool. I mean, I think we're gonna see something cool with it. I like it. I think Sarkhan looks like he's Mardu colors, so interesting. Sarkhan of the Mardu.
Wasn't Sarkhan red and black before? And so yeah. they took Sorin and they let him help out Innistrad. They're like, let's make Sorin black and white. So they're like, let's take Sarkhan Vol, who's red and black, and just make him red and black and white.
Yeah,
and like make him be the savior of the plane because
exactly
he's gonna burn in a fire with his dragon eggs and bring the dragons back and go take over Westeros and whatnot.
Yeah,
they do seem to delve into other people's fucking intellectual properties, so why not?
Yeah, I think it's cool, man. Now we're gonna get a different draft order apparently. So this time we're going, I believe it's triple Karns of Tarkir. Then second set, one booster second set, two Karns, and then the last is triple third set, right?
I actually can't remember off the top of my head. I know when we looked at it, and then I was trying to find the cliff notes on it yesterday, and I couldn't remember where it went. It feels like we get more of the third set, because again, it is large, small, large for the block breakdown. So the third set, I believe, is at least double pack. It may be
triple.
Here's where the only shortcoming in our knowledge for the evening.
If we're wrong, we're wrong. But I'm 90% sure that this is why the set's broken up with time travel. So the story elements, the last set's meant to be drafted on its own. Same with the first set, and the second set's a filler. We're meant to go 2-1 with the first set. So, I mean. We don't know anything about this now, so it sounds cool. Rise of Eldrazi was badass, coming out of Zendikar and Woldwake, and then having this whole new third set draft was really good. I like it. I'm actually kind of looking forward to doing that. I didn't really like how Dragon's Maze just it got the whole Return of Ravnica was so hyped, and then by the time we got to Dragon Maze, it's fuck, enough of this. And
wasn't enough new stuff in Dragon's Maze for you to really be interested, would you say?
Exactly.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth there, but that's my feeling on
that. Oh, that's it was exactly why. And then, Journey to Nyx was great. I thought that set was really cool. They amped everything up. But it still felt a little bit, they could have done better, but it was really good. I liked it a lot.
That is oftentimes the biggest hurdle in making a third set of a block is, and a lot of Mauro's podcasts in his Drive to Work show, he talks about how you create a thing in the first set, you take the thing to the extreme in the second set, and what are you left with for the third set? To go nuclear and super extreme? That rarely works out well. You kind of, again, with the Brave New World set building mentality, things are very different now. But I think that really helps when you have almost a reboot set in that last set to be able to do as many new and different things as you want.
Yeah, I mean, New Phyrexia, I guess, was where they went nuclear, and look at that. There's so many broken cards from that set in Modern, and, it's retarded. So, hey, man, I like it when they push it. Go ahead, push it, man, guys. Push story and push cards. Let's see some more broken shit. We can always ban things. the fuck do we care, right? Now we got each wedge is going to have its own mechanic, which is cool. Very similar, I imagine, to the Guilds of Ravnica, which, hey man, we know Wizards loves it, right? It worked before, they're doing it again.
Yep.
But we got Morph, which I fucking hate Morph. I hate this mechanic. All right, with a
slow
vengeance.
Down. Why do you hate it?
Okay, so the reason why I hate Morph is I first of all, you know, no hate on Innistrad's double face cards, but I cannot stand put the card down. Now we're playing this mini game of what do you got under your fucking peanut shells? Like, I really dislike it. And most of the Morph cards are garbage, but they're gonna put some stupidly overpowered stuff that is gonna. I just have a feeling. That I just, like, what does Morph have to do with cons? Like,
all right, we don't know, probably nothing, but it's good they're recycling a mechanic. What I will say is that the first time Morph came around, it was unfortunate because it was an awkward shell game of feel bads. Every time you guessed left, it was right. Every time you thought, you know, it's Skirk Commando battering Craghorn, for those that remember. You're always wrong, you always hate it, because something that was not only outside your control in the draft, but outside your play skill and playability, even with your knowledge of the cards, was never good enough. Now, it got shoehorned into Time Spiral, where it was this awkward subset of cards because, you know, it had to be part of the history. I think that everyone in R&D now knows how much impact and how many feel bads there were that were related to Morph, but at the same time, I feel that it's at its essence, it adds so much to the limited environment because you always have access to Grey Ogres. You're always pushing the game forward, that I really have a lot of faith in it coming back. I know Matt Tabak just said something on Twitter like today saying that, you know, he has faith in where they're taking that mechanic and making it better. And that's the rules guy. That's someone who's worried about the complexity level. So I think that
maybe think it's different. Maybe they can improve.
I think it's going to be good. As much as we all know it was bad in the past, I would put my chips in on Morph being a positive experience for everyone on this set in the fall.
I was hoping, like, that we would see Manlands. I know in the art there's, like, that weird stone dragon. I think it was in the promo for pieces of art. I thought we were going to get, you know, lands that animate into creatures or maybe flip into creatures. Something like that would have been, I don't know, maybe we could even still get that. But Morph was not something, like, I just don't see. Flavor-wise, there's the Vorthos in me coming out. I just don't know where that's going. Maybe it's going to work. The one thing, though, that they didn't spoil was the land. Now, I was hoping to see that. Are we getting tri-lands? What the hell's going on? So, I guess
it's like
a
really
be...
safe bet that we're going to get the Shards of Alara-esque style wedge lands for the other side. The real right. question is, are those going to be uncommons like they were in Shards of Alara? If so, does that mean there's going to be room for an additional land
rare,
and a fixing spot in that block. Now, if you remember Shards of Alara, it was actually devoid of rare mana fixing lands, which worked out a lot better for the limited environment, but may or may not have left players a little sour on the constructed side of things. Personally, I would be fine if we took a step back and took one off. I feel like mana bases being expensive is something that is always a hurdle for newer players, and I wouldn't mind having a block where we didn't have to worry about that, or maybe even just a set.
I fully believe that looking in a large set, limited environment, not only do we get uncommon tri-lands that enter the battlefield tap, just like you said, but we will get a set of rare lands that maybe are two-color, or maybe they're...
I mean, I think considering the way they're changing pre-releases to have so many promo cards, there might not be enough rares left in the set to even have rare lands in the rare slots.
I don't know. I had an interesting idea on how to do this, like a new way to do a tricolor land. And the idea would have been, it's a two color land off the bat, but you can sack it to get the third color. So I thought that would be really cool. So it's like a black blue land, but you can sack it to go get a red land, you know, or something like that. I thought that would be really cool. I don't know if it's going to happen, but.
I think it's too early to bring back the Innistrad fucking opposite.
Buddy lands?
Buddy lands? Yeah, the buddy enemy lands.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's,
I mean, I don't think so. It would fit for it, but I think it might be too soon to bring those back.
I mean, if we're going to have these wedge, like if it's going to be super gold all the time, or maybe it's not, like we don't know how this breaks down. It's not like, it might not be like Shards. You might just have these cons that are your big gold spells, and then the rest of your clan or whatever the fuck we're calling these things. Maybe they're all just like, you know, single color guys. They're all monocolored. So if that's the case, maybe we don't need such a, you know, all the fixing unlimited. But if it is heavy gold, I think we definitely will see some pretty cool shit in there for sure, man. I don't know.
Yeah. TSG brought up something that, like, we haven't touched on yet with this.
Ah, yes. The boxes.
Yeah. So we've all been complaining about the sealed or the pre-release sealed and
the limited bombs.
Oh, look, we all get the one fucking promo. So now they went the other direction and they're like, all right, well, we'll give you 40 fucking promos.
Which I think is brilliant. Brilliant.
I think it's a good idea. They may have gone a little overboard with 40 of them, but yeah, fuck it. Might as well.
But it's not 40 per thing. So there's, I believe.
No, it's like 40 possible promos.
Yeah, it's 8, right? Is it 8 per, yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 8, it's 8 per color.
Yeah, 8 per color. So, I think that's great. And if it's, I don't know, like, we don't know, is it random yet? Do we know that, is it 1 of 8?
I don't think any of us know exactly how the distribution of the items will work. I feel like random is going to be the way to go to keep people happy, so we don't have the feel bads from not getting a very specific
product. Yeah, instead of like, you're like, oh, wait, now I've got 8 different versions of the red box I could go get. It's like I could get the red box and I have, you know, 8 different versions that I might get of it for a seeded pack or, well, for a promo.
I think it's great. Now, what I am hoping, well, maybe I'm not hoping this, but are we going to get 40 promo alt art? Like, they're going to drive the collectors insane? Or is it just they're going to stop doing the alternate art for these? That would be interesting. So I'm curious.
Just do it as a...
Just foil, right? They're just...
To me, it's really hard to make this a win-win for everybody because... Yeah. We, you know, when we think about pre-release promos at this point, we think that these cards are all creatures. Like, did your guys' brains kind of fill those in already in your head?
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So if we've got 40 rare cards in the set that are all locked in as creatures in 8 of a color, either they're all going to be a little too flat between each other, and that might make the regular set uninteresting, or there's going to be a lot of disparity between their power levels, and that's going to feel weird for the pre-release event. Or they're not even all creature cards, and now all of a sudden we've got different card types in the pre-release packs. Your pre-release promo could be like some red do-nothing enchantment. That seems really weird. It seems like there's a lot of opportunities for error and just a lot of feel bads here while exploring this new space. And that's not even talking about the fact that there could be now 40 different alternate art cards for this one set. It's going to make a collector go crazy.
I pray to God they're not going to stick dumb red enchantments. I hope they pick the 8 cards in your whatever wedge you're picking. I hope those 8 cards are playable cards. Like, you know, like make sure the limited environment has some sense of what you're putting in there. If they're just randomly picking shit like, hey, you get the 8 mana red dump your hand enchantment. Oh, that's sweet, dude. That's throw that in the trash. Like, you know, I hope so. I think it's going to be primarily creatures. So probably like
and,
5.
You know, it very well
you
it
can
might
play
also
them.
Be.
Or removal like, spells. How about that? Give me a good removal spell.
They said promos. They very might well just say, all right, well, you guys are sick of fucking the whole, you know that the guy's got the bomb in the pack. They're like, fuck it. We're going to take.
Lands.
Fucking, we're just going to foil out one of the fucking red cards in your fucking box and put a date stamp on it.
That would be the worst troll in the world. Although it would be cool. This kind of touches on another subject, but I would be very happy if one of those was a full art land. That's my jam, man. I love full art lands. I love good ones. We've just got a little notification that
it's just gonna be a foil full art triple fucking dual land. It'd be like taps for red, white, or black. No
oh my god. And could you imagine if they ever are like, you know what, fuck it, dual lands aren't good enough. Try lands, end of the battlefield, just you get everything. Yeah.
They're all you thought we were gonna hook you up, check this out, motherfuckers.
someone
those
did
pre-release boxes start going for $500 a piece.
Yeah, that would be pretty epic. I mean, obviously, I don't think That would be very good for the game. Someone had a good idea, though. Maybe it was, I don't know if it was me. Someone we were talking earlier about.
I don't know if it was me.
I don't know. I can't remember. I don't want to take credit for it if it wasn't me, but I did put the idea out there of Boltlands, which would be Shocklands, but, you know, you get access to three colors, but they bolt you, which, I mean, it's interesting at first. You're like, that's so powerful. But then you're like, well, wait a minute. You really could only run one or two. And yeah, you may get access to better fixing, but Jesus Christ, three damage, that is not something you want to be fetching for three in a row, man. You're dead. Like, I could just see Kevin like, yes, please play those lands. It's one turn extra to kill you now.
Have a blast. Yeah, go ahead. Have
a blast. Have a blast.
Aggro decks would have a fucking field day with fucking bolt lands.
Right, so it's interesting.
Like, oh, sweet, have fun. Play your bolt lands. That's fucking neat. Fix your colors. I will kill you before you do anything.
And I believe that's what, man, it, like, hey, that's the price you pay. So for those decks that super want the fixing, yeah, you're rolling the dice, man. I think it's not as broken as it first sounds. But we're not going to go. We won't go too far into that speculation because we're not going to go there. But we will talk briefly.
TSG is on this cast and he's actually good at Magic, and he uses his brain instead of just random impulse speech.
All right, I guess.
Well, let's talk quickly about the Tyrese Nelson foil full art.
Nielsen.
Tyrese Nielsen? Tyrese Nelson?
I was watching Game of Thrones, so I was thinking Tyrion Lannister. Sorry.
Tyrese Nelson is a new fucking heavy meta character.
Tyrese Nelson. I'm not going to let that one go. I'm here.
Oh, fuck.
Tyrese Nelson is awesome.
Oh, man. I'm just putting my foot in my mouth tonight. Well, let's talk about these lands by this artist.
Can somebody please do a Twitter account for Tyrese Nelson?
Don't. There's already a fucking cannibal. I don't know who's making this shit, but stop it. It's getting out of control.
He's just a big-ass black wrestler. I don't mean to sound racist, but his name's Tyrese. He's a big-ass black wrestler, dude, that wrestles for the Heavy Meta Foundation, which is a new fucking foundation that I just came up with for this joke.
And what is it, the full Nelson? The full Nelson is his boo.
Yeah, so somebody please come up with Tyrese Nelson and make it interesting and not racist.
Please, we don't need to go there. Anyways, let's talk about these full art lands. They're already going for absurd amounts of money. Apparently, Wizards doesn't mail you cards anymore, but they did. They mailed every level one judge.
Things are changing, my friend, yet again.
Very bizarre, right? Like, and it all came, apparently that people were tweeting pictures of this letter that came with them, which had no Wizards seal on it. No, it wasn't addressed from Wizard. It was just like a blank letter from a stalker or something. It was really bizarre. It was like, hey, we're confirmed.
Counterfeiters!
Yeah, that's a, maybe that's how you get some shit. But they mailed it all to the judges, so I believe people are offering $150 for the set. Again, I mean, a lot of people want me to comment and go off on this, but it's just the entire judge promo thing. I don't understand. I know a lot of people think it's great. I think you just pay judges cash. How about you pay them real money instead of paying them?
Whoa. We don't want to have to fill out a lot of unnecessary tax forms here. Can we give them some cards?
Yeah, well, man, there's that argument. I guess, I don't know. I find it very, very bizarre. I mean, who are these cards for? That's really, well, like, I they're for the collectors?
They're for the judges in the new judge program, sir. We're moving away from what was the traditional way of giving judges promo cards. There's now this new exemplar program, which, from what I can tell, is an extension of the old judge system where you'd go on and you'd judge reviews, you'd judge ratings, you'd talk about your experience working with other judges, their high points, their areas of improvement. It was pretty much just a Yelp page for judges. But they don't want the regular riffraff in there talking shit about the judge community.
Okay.
They just want constructive criticisms within the community. So now the exemplar program is going to come through, and that program is going to award judges promo cards to be handed out to them in whatever fashion people like Toby Elliott deem appropriate. So it's a huge shift for collectors. It's a huge shift for PTOs. It's a huge shift for judges. obviously, because things are changing, and I think that these Tyrese Nelson pants are the first kind of feeler out to, you know, send out there to all these judges, testing their mailing addresses, you know, testing their interest levels, and reminding the collector player community at large that these people are still going to be rewarded for their work. It's just changing. So it's going to be very different here.
So they don't get paid in cards at venues anymore?
Not anymore. As of 2015,
really?
You will no longer get a judge packet for judging a Grand Prix.
What, really? Wow. Yeah. So now there's
a lot of pressure on PTOs to offset the costs of their judges that they're bringing in.
Oh, wow. So wait, you're telling me that now the tournament organizer isn't responsible for... Like, he has to pay the judges now in some way? It's not Wizards giving out envelopes?
Yeah, I don't know, because I've only read the information from the judge side of this. I have not... Up through now, when a TO is running an event like a Grand Prix, they are outfitted with things like product. For example, if they're running a sealed event by Wizards of the Coast, they're also given a nominal number of these judge packets that are sealed by Wizards of the Coast to be handed out as kind of the quote-unquote compensation for judges. Now, I do know that a couple of years ago, a particularly irate judge attempted to sue Wizards of the Coast over the fact that he was being used as labor and not compensated, through whatever state law or federal law to employ people. Wizards really effectively swept that under the table. So no one really knows a lot of the details of how exactly it was handled, but it's been always one of these gray areas where every time you see judges at an event, at a Grand Prix, you wonder, you know, how did they get there? Did they pay their own way? Are they just doing this for fun and paying for their hotels and meals and airfare? And Wizards incentivizes TOs to bring judges from all corners of the globe, depending on the size of their event. And one of the easier ways to do that has been these judge packets in the past. Especially because you're effectively giving a judge their paycheck in the middle of the weekend, being like, here's your packet, you know, open it up, see the new promos, see some of the past promos you get, kind of price it out to the dealers, pull a few cards aside that you want to keep for your EDH decks, and cash those things in to recoup costs on your trip. And I've seen judge packets, they are a bit swingy. I've seen a packet that ends up being worth $250 from a vendor, as high as $850 from a vendor, that, you know, most judges will turn over at the end of the weekend to pick up the cost of their flights and their hotel.
Hmm. I mean, this seems really, man, like, I know we've talked about, like, how you run an event and how you cover staff. That sounds like events are going to get more expensive now. Like, it sounds like.
Oh, you went to a dangerous and scary place there. I definitely would have started from that angle.
Well, doesn't that what it sound like? It sounds to me like, where's that cost going?
Out loud, the next hears this is going to make their price to get into a GP $75. We're all going to be like, what happened? And be like, well, I have to pay my judges. You guys did this.
We didn't do shit, man. This is like completely about wit. Like, what spurred this? This is what I want to know. Like, why did Wizards all of a sudden change this? Like,
I mean, it's in their,
what's the logic?
It's in their best interests to do it in this fashion.
Really?
So in the hope that TOs that are running events will handle the hiring of their employees in a more professional manner. You know, having them all on the books effectively is safer and better for every party involved. Now, yes, it's going to cost those tournament organizers a little more money to do so, but it also kind of allows Wizards of the Coast to wipe their hands clean of any potential wrongdoing by having these people work as unpaid laborers for a weekend. But they can also reward their judges in a new way in various levels with this new program, and also offer a more diverse offering of specialty cards for their judges. Mm.
So basically, this is Wizards like saying, hey, we'll give you a back alley hand job to the judges for being judges, but you gotta go blow this dirty whore in a fucking car, and that's up to you. You gotta figure out that.
You
on
lost
your own.
Me at the dirty whore part.
Cause this is so, okay, so this is really like confusing to me. Tournament organizer, they don't give a shit. They're gonna make money. So the first thing they're gonna do is just whatever the cost is, passed on to you. So we're paying for it now, Which is fine. I mean, I guess.
It is possible that is an outcome. I don't think that's going to be the case, at least not in the short term, because no one wants to immediately skyrocket the price of their GPs. Wizards doesn't want that. Not even the TOs want that, because the TOs are, they'd rather slowly increase price every couple of years so that we don't notice, or when we do complain, it's, you know, very minuscule, such as they have been doing with events over the years.
So it sounds like the judges are going to get screwed initially then. Right? Like, that's
it's
what
possible.
That's what
again, you know, where the barriers were previously, you know, L1s could be brought onto a GP staff. L2s could apply for it and a certain number made it in. You know, now things will be changing. I don't know where the breakdowns will be. And again, they're kind of changing where the yard markers are as to where these goals kind of come in. So with all of these things happening, the change-ups to the entire judge program, not just the way the promotional cards are handed out, will change the landscape of Grand Prix. But it has to do with the fact that everything is growing. So many more people are judges. So many more people are playing the facilitate, needing so many more judges. Revenue from Grand Prix is already increasing as these numbers increase. The TO has already purchased the hall, purchased the space for that weekend. If more people show up, you know, their bottom line is being raised initially. We're going to need to all find ways to offset that as the entire game grows. And I think it's just smart of Wizards of the Coast to get there, to clean their hands of the situation where no one tries to sue them over labor conditions or anything that could come back to them. I flew across country to work for this person at this event for this weekend, and I wasn't paid.
It sounds to me like this is tax reasons, or they don't want to like acknowledge their cards are worth money. Right?
That,
like, this sounds
both
a legal reason.
Those things are true.
Right? So I don't know. This sounds real. This is weird, man. Magic is changing. That's all it is. In this last year, so much shit has changed. I think the entire thing too that we talked about earlier in the episode about PTQs now, like there's PTQs, just to get a PTQ, now you need a PTQQ. It's kind of like they're pulling, like we talked about making these GPs they want to be these grand things. And now they're like, well, we're going to take all the PTQ level shit away, give it to the stores. And then, you know, if you're going to TO one of these GPs, you know, they're going to be huge. You know, they're 4,000 people. Like, that's kind of like maybe what they're doing. But I think for GPs, I hope for those bigger events, Wizards supports the TO more with prizes or like cards, like something to offset the cost. So GPs aren't, like you said, $70 to $100. Like, that is not what we want, man.
I can tell you that Grand Prix have a lot closer and more eyes from Wizards of the Coast on them more consistently in this day and age. The PTQ system has obviously had a lot of attention recently, and I think that the changes that are happening to it were not only necessary, but in the long run, probably going to be better for everyone involved. And what's really pissed me off this week is the people that have taken to social media and the most vocal people being like, this is so bad for me. I take one Saturday off every quarter and I go spike a PTQ and then I play in the Pro Tour and now you're taking that away from me. How dare you? It's like, look, the yardage markers have to change. More people are playing Magic. If you want to play at the Pro Tour, you're going to have to dedicate more of your time and energy to playing the goddamn game. If you're out there bitching about how I only have so many hours of my month to give away to try to play on the Pro Tour, that level of competitive play isn't for you. Fuck off.
Right.
I'm so tired of people coming at me being like, what are you talking about? This is wrong for everybody. How can you support this system? It's so much better for the people that just want to get out there and play Magic. The people that already play Magic twice a week, four times a month, eight, you know, every weekend, those people should be rewarded with more opportunities to make the Pro Tour because they want to play this game so much.
I agree 100%. You don't get to win your fucking local softball championship and then like get to start for the Angels and then like you know, like,
yeah, that's a good one.
You know, it doesn't work like that. Like, if putting another barrier there, putting another fucking round of, well, another round, another 10 rounds in front of you, like, if you're a good Magic player that deserves to be on the Pro Tour because you're constantly putting up results, I feel like you shouldn't be held back by, like, somebody that had a case of the run goods one day or somebody that had a case of the good deck that day. Or somebody that had a case of the, like, I didn't have to face the right opponents that day. This separates the wheat from the chaff and, like, puts it, like, the good Magic players that consistently post results, those are the ones that are going to be able to play in PTQs. Not everybody gets to play in a PTQ. The good Magic players are going to play in the PTQs. And then the good Magic player, the really good Magic players are going to be the ones that win them and go on to the Pro Tour. Like,
my only thing that I guess is a weird, like, I agree. Enough of the old school Magic Pro Tour gravy train guys that are like, ah, what the fuck's going on? You know, it's, I guess it's right. Magic's evolving and you had your chance and now it's a bigger game.
Yeah.
But how expensive, like, okay, now that I have to go to a PTQ queue to get a PTQ, like, for the, even a grinder, like, how expensive? Does this double their costs?
That's kind of like, again, I'm talking about the people that are already out there playing Magic a lot. Yeah. Now, I'm not sure. Maybe those regional PTQs are going to be just like, WMCQs. WMCQs, the main event, is free for the players who are qualified to enter.
Oh, okay. That'd be
so it's possible these regional PTQs will be the same. It's possible they won't. But I'm saying that the game has changed. You know, again, the football field went to 125 yards. If you're going to bitch and moan about it, you don't get to play football anymore. That's fine.
Good.
Like,
yeah.
You do it or you don't. The people that want to play this much Magic will do it. That's like when they extended the GP system, and a lot of people out there were like, well, I can only make 6 a year. I can't be expected to get 20 pro points if I can only go to 1/8 of all the GPs. Again, the game is changing. The day that numbers are down and people aren't going to these events, then we'll need to talk about how that's a bad thing and it was hurting stuff. We're miles away from that right now.
Hmm. Now, I was gonna say, like, what is this whole point about, like, okay, so pro points are given out, on GPs and PTs, but now they're based on point total finish in addition to top 8?
So it used to be just your place finishing, but with so many more people playing at events, but not adding additional rounds to these events, a lot of people were being cheated out of a lot of opportunities and would be events that were great. I mean, someone like Jacob Wilson has really gotten the short end of the stick with multiple Grand Prix finishes at 13-2 where he did not top 8.
Hmm.
His tiebreaker was off by like 1/100 of a point this last weekend. I mean, two locals that I know, him and Nathan Holliday, ended up in top 16 with records of 13-2 that, you know, six out of the 7 days of the week in that same event, they make top 8.
Hmm. Right.
So, you know, those guys will get at least thrown a slightly larger bone in the form of pro points based on point total finish and not placing finish.
Now, I find this interesting because I watch a lot of Pro Tour coverage, and they're always talking, especially this year, about, like, okay, well, you know, this guy's already got 5 finishes. You can only count 5 finishes for your points. And, you know, you're like, well, you know, I top 32 this one event, and now to, like, is it worth it for me to go to a GP and try to top 16 this to improve my score by just this minor little point? Now you can use their top 6 finishes. And I wonder, is that better? It sounds like it is, right?
It's not bad. Again,
the
percent of the population that this impacts is so minuscule. I mean, that is the kind of thing where the target audience knows it impacts them. They're happy about it. I don't think anyone's going to – I can't think of a single person out there who'd be like, whoa, 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 top 6 finishes. That fucks over my chances.
That sounds like a bone to a few of the pros to be like, hey, here's, you know, you get it one more shot at increasing your points. But they also at the same time, they bump platinum up to 48. So it's like, yeah, we'll let you use 6, but now you got to get 3 more. So, interesting, to say the least. I wonder if they bumped the gold.
Gold and silver have not changed.
They haven't? Okay. Well, I think that's interesting. Very interesting. I don't know. I think it's cool. I'm excited. I mean, the fact that I can go to my local store and play, you know, a PTQQ is cool. Like, I might do that.
I mean, there are definitely two things you can look at here. I mean, when locals – it used to be regional PTOs were the only people that could run Grand Prix trials.
Right.
And now, I mean, any store can run a Grand Prix trial. This is going to be the same thing for PTQQs or whatever, QTQs or whatever.
Whatever the fuck we're calling them.
And then on top of that, I lost where I was going with this. that's what I was. So back in the day, you know, GPTs were only for regional coordinators, which were very rare, and you had to kind of travel for those as well. But I assume neither of you guys were playing Magic back during the days of the city championships.
No.
Nope.
That was easy. The city championships is very similar to this new system, where your goal was it was like another road to nationals back in the day. They did it one year where, you know, any particular store, you could be the champion of that store, and then you went to the next level. It's like any little league team where you win right. your neighborhood, then you win your city, then you move up to the bigger games. So hopefully there are a lot of players right. out there who are already familiar enough with that system that this isn't really breaking their balls.
Yeah.
No. No. I mean, that pretty much covers the gigantic range of insane topics. Now I know last week we gotten a little bit of shit, or I guess we didn't get in shit. We actually did the right thing. We didn't answer questions from.
We did the right thing. We just didn't answer questions.
Well, no, we did, but we picked interesting questions. I would just say this. Hey, we're not going to be favorites here. We're just picking good questions. But we're going to take a bit from the Twitterverse tonight. Uh-huh. Kevy, I got one for you tonight. Uh-huh. Actually, I guess this is for all of us. speaking of midgets and dwarves, he has one for us. He's like, favorite sexual position.
Oh God!
It's all based on mood, man.
Yeah, all of them
and partner.
yeah, that's true. Actually, TSG brings up a good point. It really comes down to the partner. If she's
really?
Gorgeous, if she's fucking gorgeous, missionary is fine because you can just enjoy it. But like, other than that, like it gets crazy. Like, you know, sometimes you're in the mood to get fucking squirrely and just do something stupid. Like, you know. Hang off a balcony while you're doing it. Or you just, you know, like, you know, sometimes it's just do it from behind, have a good time with that. You know, you could get all crazy and acrobatic and gymnastic. I'm getting a little bit old for this. I can't, like, hang from the ceiling and have sex with a girl anymore. It's weird. But, yeah, I think it really depends on the partner, and it really depends on your fucking mood.
I like to mix it up, man. I can't. One position is not enough. There's like,
yeah,
you got to do them all,
like,
man.
Literally, I don't think I've ever had sex with a girl in my entire life where we just stayed in one position. So it really, you know, I think the more positions you can throw in there, the more interesting you're going to be to that girl.
Oh yeah, for sure. Unless you were like just, you know, popping off too quick. You're like, oh,
I was not expecting Kevy to get really poetic there at the end, but.
I know, he said it all in a little. We should have had that soft music playing with the violin yeah. there, you know? Well, I don't know what the barrel burner. So, this weekend, or not this weekend, I guess you're hearing it's Friday. You won't be hearing anything next Friday, because we're going to be.
You might be hearing something next Friday. I think we convinced.
Okay, we'll figure something.
I mean, none of us leave on Wednesday. What's really stopping us from recording?
Yeah. It's that I gotta fly out Thursday morning at 4 a.m. So how am I editing that? Maybe we record it and we'll give it to one of you motherfuckers to edit. Who knows?
Yes!
We could do that.
Oil
we could totally.
And gas, Dad. You're fucking editing this shit next week.
So the one question that we have to talk about here is Rob the Murder King, Kraken Jacked.
Kraken Jacked, my boy!
Mr. He doesn't like it when we answer certain people's questions, but he wants us to answer his. So he saved a good one. And this is interesting. I'm very curious to hear TSG's topic on this one. So he's like, if heavy metal were to go big and mainstream, become the kings of all podcasting. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Aren't we already the kings of podcasting? But anyways, he's like, there's a movie. We're making heavy metal the movie a la Howard Stern Private Parts. Who do you cast for the picks? And he has a follow-up question. How would Jason Ault kill himself due to the success and his lack of his own lack of? So, right. Ault there.
I got to start this off. Like, right. We're going to cast Jason Ault as Rachel McAdams.
wait, how is Rachel McAdams in the Heavy Metal movie? We're not casting that.
No, the Heavy Metal movie. Like, she's going to play Jason Ault.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. That's bizarre casting. I like it. I think
she could pull it off, and I think Jason would sign on to it.
All right. I'm down with that.
Okay. Now, we could get to the real version of this question, but I just had to give Jason a little bit of a punch there.
A little bit of a low blow. Who plays you? That's the real question. Okay, and I've got my pick.
What is the actual question? It's just who plays you?
No. The question is how do you, okay, cast the heavy metal movie. So the major players.
I think you have to cast yourself, right?
Yeah. Well, obviously me, Kevy. I would say the major players. Hold on, let's do the major players. Me, you, Ferret, because that'll be funny. Mm-hmm. I think you got to cast TSG. He's been around too many times
to cast him.
Yeah, you got to cast him. And then I think you got to cast a midget. Right?
I feel like we need a midget. We need a
robot. You need a fucking robot in there.
We have to have robot. We have
gotta
to
have a robot.
We have to have proxy guy in there
yep.
too.
Yeah, and you gotta have a bizarre artist that is like a woman, but we don't know. Right? Like we gotta have a few weird characters.
Yes. All right.
So let's start off with the big hitters. Who plays Kevy Metal?
I feel like this is going to be a big, long conversation.
No. We're good. No, this is rapid fire, bitch.
No, it's not rapid fire.
No. Kevy Metal, go.
All right. Kevy Metal, go. Who's going to be? What do you guys think?
Okay. David Lee Roth plays Kevy Metal. Current David Lee Roth. Old David Lee Roth. You just dye his hair black. He'd be perfect.
What do you think, TSG?
No, I want someone scrawnier.
Have you seen what David Lee Roth looks like lately?
I guess
he looks bad. I mean, the only other person beside David Lee Roth you could let's see, who else could play fucking
younger, you? Slightly more manic, possibly.
Russell freaking what's his name? The crazy British guy. Russell Brand.
Russell Brand.
Oh, I like that. If he shaved his head.
That's good.
Or Skillerax.
Skrillex.
I think Russell Brand.
Have I ever talked to you guys about this? Skrillex and I have shared an ex-girlfriend.
Oh my god, we're not sidetracking. We're rapid firing this bitch.
No, I'm serious. Skrillex. Well, you know, like Sonny is his real name. Skrillex. Sonny and I have shared an ex-girlfriend. It's kind of
that is a Kevy story time.
We don't have to talk a long time about that, but I just want you motherfuckers to know while you're comparing me to Skrillex that we have shared the same girl before.
All right, I'll give it to you.
I would say Jim Carrey. As much as I've gotten shit for this in my life, like Jim Carrey would probably have to be me because
I could see Jim Carrey.
I've been getting shit about like looking like Jim Carrey since I was in fucking junior high and had a fucked up.
Do we have any R-rated comedies that we can like match the performance to? Because I think that's going to be important.
Dude, I'm telling you, like the one that everybody gives me shit about is fucking Cable Guy.
I can see it.
If I take that performance and add more junk grabbing to it, I think we're in the ballpark.
Probably. You mean Illegal Cable?
I mean, I almost think you have to take Jim Carrey, and then you have to have Jim Carrey spend 2 weeks with Nick Nolte.
Yeah!
And then he might be able to pull a little bit of that out. And maybe even a little bit of Gary Busey. You throw that in there, and he might win an Oscar. That's Kevy Metal.
The early 90s Busey, before he's 100% insane.
Oh, no.
Before he had a stroke.
Look. Point Break. That's all I'm saying. That is Kevy Metal right there.
Now, Under Siege, Gary Busey is a quality Gary Busey.
Yeah, well, is there? I don't know if there isn't a quality Gary Busey. He's a fine wine.
You don't drink a lot of wine.
He is. He's a fine wine. That's like,
it's a fine
berry.
Like Thunderbird and Mad Dog 2020.
Cork got into that one.
Shotgun 21. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. He's like Ripple. All right, we'll do that. So for me, I think you're. That's tough.
I'm going with Vin Diesel for Maddie.
Oh, that doesn't make it. Vin Diesel is like he can't even act. Come on, man. I can tell stories and shit. I think if you pick me, you got to go with like 1980s, late 80s Dan Aykroyd.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe it's hard. I don't know.
I thought for sure you were. Yeah, I mean, no, not Dan Aykroyd. I thought for sure you were gonna go with.
Dan Aykroyd. Don't get me wrong, but
Dr. Detroit. Come on,
dude. You got to have a.
I got a bit of Venkman. That's true. Venkman and Ghostbusters.
Way
yeah.
More Venkman.
That's true.
Hey, Maddie, let's sit down and have a conversation about your self-esteem.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because if you think that you're Dan Aykroyd, I have news for you, buddy. You are way better than Dan Aykroyd, even in his prime.
Dan Aykroyd's hilarious, though, but that's true. But I think Venkman is right. Like, if Venkman and Ghostbusters, that cynical attitude, that would have to be good.
I could get that.
I could see that. And a latest guy, I don't know, even like a latest actor that would, that's
like
that
a more
sharp.
Recent actor. Oh man, there's got to be somebody that fits your fucking bill. Like,
you just haven't seen Vin Diesel not in an action movie role. I think that you guys have a similar shape and build, and that he can actually talk. He just doesn't have story time acting.
I'm gonna go with Sean William Scott.
Yeah, that's, and who's the
guy
from
that? I like that.
That's a good one. And who's the new guy from, oh, well, then you go. What about frickin', what's the Jackass guy? They were in Dukes of Hazzard? That's you. Yeah, that's,
Johnny Knoxville?
There you go. I gotta change my vote for Kevy. Johnny Knoxville is Kevy Metal.
Johnny Knoxville a lot of times too.
Basically, Dukes of Hazzard, there's me a Kevy.
Yeah.
And Ferret's Jessica Simpson. In the thing.
Ferret, the only thing I have to go on is Benji. Like, Ferret is Benji, and for those of you that, you know, aren't old enough to know what Benji is, then I'm sorry, there's no other fucking fit for Ferret than Benji.
No, I like, think...
Every once in a while we get a, arf, arf! On cue.
Ferret. You know who Ferret is? Ferret is Louis C. Scott.
Really?
He's an angry motherfucker. He's always angry.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Do a little CG Ferret with him? Oh, man.
You can see him doing the voice for fucking Ferret and then just having like a little Timon fucking character, like a little fucking, yeah. I like that.
All right, who do we cast for TSG? This is a tough one.
I mean, if I had my pick of the litter, I would definitely take a Jason Bateman, but unfortunately I am not that shape, so I kind of have to...
My TSG is like James Earl Jones. He's got this fucking wisdom that reaches like beyond my years.
And I kind of like that.
And when you hear him talk, you start listening because he's Darth Vader. Like, you just have to listen to what the fuck he has to say. And, like, he's an incredibly smart, distinguished motherfucker. TSG is James Earl Jones.
I think he's like probably 70% James Earl Jones, but then he's kind of like a little bit of Jack Black in there. Just a little.
I could definitely
like
get
a twist.
Jack, but I also twist feel like, Jack
Black. I would have accepted Jonah Hill, but I'll take Jack Black.
No, you have no Jonah Hill in you. Come on.
No, if we're gonna cast this movie, I think this is the part we're missing. Okay. We don't get to, like, also have our own biogenetic lab that gets to fucking alter these fucking personalities.
All right, fine.
I think we got to pick an actor. And I mine for TSG is James Earl Jones. Mine for you is Sean William Scott. And for me, it has to be Jim Carrey. This is going to be already the greatest movie of all time.
This already sounds intense. Now, Robot Large, we have to – he's obviously CG. Like, we're going to CG him, right?
Oh, dude, we're going to CG him, but we could go one of two directions with this. We could either give him, like, fucking, Jason Biggs' voice. Like,
I was going to give him the guy from Parks and Rec with the mustache. That guy would be his perfect freaking Robot Large.
You wouldn't want to use any of the Transformers?
No. Here's, like, Robot Large's voice is Favre from fucking Super Troopers.
Yeah, done.
Fucking, dude, Favre from fucking Super Troopers is fucking it's Robot Large's fucking voice, and it's just CGI Bumblebee. That's it.
Yeah, there you go. All right, I'm down with that. Now
we're gonna have to pay Michael Bay for the rights to this shit, and just be like, well, you're gonna need to have like at least 24 explosions in the movie, which we're fine with because this is a heavy metal movie. But we need the exact Bumblebee robot from the Michael Bay movies, and just have Favre do the voice. I think
it's decent. I think we got a great movie so far. Now we got to start casting our second tier players here, real quick. Proxy guy.
Ooh, this one's hard because I keep.
I know.
Him as a fucking giraffe.
He's huge. He's so tall. He's like 8 feet tall.
He's huge, and I know exactly what he looks like. But for
either of you guys, watch Star Trek.
Yes.
You guys don't remember Mr. Holm from Star Trek The Next Generation?
Yeah, the super guy with the big hands. Wasn't it Lurch who played him?
Yeah, exactly, Lurch.
Oh, all right,
there you go.
Yeah, no,
Lurch from the Monsters.
Lurch from the Monsters.
Because that's going to be an easier reference than Next Gen.
Actually, that makes a lot of sense, too.
But
he doesn't like to talk a lot.
But he's Lurch. No, but he's Lurch from the Monsters, but he's wearing Tom Baker's Doctor Who outfit. Sold.
Fair enough.
Done. Now, Proxy Guy is got to be frickin' Scarlett Johansson.
We just said Proxy Guy. Who's
no, sorry. I meant Paul Stamatis. Scarlett Johansson, just because I want to just be on set with her.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Right. I'm sure she'd find a way into the movie regardless.
Hey, well, I could just see the casting session where she's like, so why am I called Polish sausage? I mean, tamales again? I'm like, well.
Hey, I gotta say Rebecca Romijn instead because of.
Oh, no. I met Rebecca. No. I met her on the set of X-Men 1 when they filmed. No, I don't like her. Get her out of there.
Okay.
Scarlett Johansson has a fucking gorgeous fucking ass.
Because none of us get to hang out on set with her, just the people that we casted did. And so.
Now, the last, and this is easy, and I know, I mean, Durf, Jet Li, right? Hands down easy pick there, right?
No. Is it Jet Li or is it Jackie Chan?
I think Jet Li is smaller. I think you gotta go Jet Li or Ong Bak, but I think it's Jet Li, man.
I think maybe we should cast him as Lurch for fucking ironic
for ironic reasons. I thought you were a ninja, small Asian ninja. Why are you a giant white Scandinavian monster? This could be interesting. So that's kind of the heavy metal movie. I don't know if
there's a heavy metal movie.
Did we already cast Wee Man as the heavy metal midget?
Oh yeah, there we go. Wee Man, heavy metal. Well, no, we gotta get fucking name? Peter Dinklage.
Oh, he's too hot right now. He's not going to go for that. I mean, this is a character we're mostly going to be throwing around. That's why Wee Man's already used to the stunts.
I was actually... Okay, guys. In all honesty, I was actually just thinking the midget, we would just wrap some, like, leftover, like, hams together and just pretend it spoke.
We don't want to CGI that one. We don't want to hire Andy Serkis to do the voice.
Well, now if we have a real budget, we get Andy Serkis to mocap the midget as a meat boy?
CGI on fucking Robot Lark. We can't. We're not allowed to. Literally, we're going to just have like a fucking, either we're going to have to tape hams together or we're going to have to just train like an actual real life pig to walk around like Wilbur and then we'll just have it talk like the heavy meta midget.
I think we could do this. I'm pretty sure.
CGI budget.
I'm pretty sure we just kickstart this and it's done.
I think it's a good idea. Now we need plot.
Wait, we haven't. Oh, wait, we need the most important person. Marcel.
Oh, shoot.
And MTG Brainstorm.
How do we miss Marcel and Tyrone? Probably because we didn't want to sound racist as fuck on this cast.
No. Okay, well, it's not racism. Right? It's just we're casting. We're casting the movie. So here's what I think. Marcel has got to be played by. Oh, man.
I'm gonna go with Mos Def.
Oh, that is good casting. See this? I like that. Okay, Mos Def.
It's actually a really, really good fucking pick for Marcel. Me personally, I was thinking you get like the whitest dude on the planet, and then you have his voice be the darkest dude on the planet.
See, I was just gonna have Robert Downey
Jones is already in this movie.
Well, wait. I thought Marcel would just be played by Robert Downey Jr.
Did you guys ever see that movie?
I see what you did there.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
That's actually really good.
I think he could pull it off. He's a fucking Emmy winning, Oscar winning actor. That guy can do anything. And Brainstorm, I mean, you got to get someone with street credit there.
Mm-hmm.
50 Cent.
No, fuck that.
I just wanted street credit, sir.
Yeah, you went.
Whoa.
We want actual street credit. I'm going to go Snoop, maybe.
Well, Snoop Dogg, yeah, okay. I can see that.
That'll put bums in seats, yeah.
That's definitely the Smooth Brothers right there. I think we got a show. I don't know.
Junior and Snoop Dogg would be their own fucking movie. Just
that's
like
true.
The Smooth Brothers fucking podcast. I love it. That's perfect.
Our movie fails and theirs succeeds.
Exactly.
We're not even filming your movie. We're just going straight into the sequel, the offshoot.
We're just going to do the offshoot because this is way better.
All right. Well, that's kind of like the best of the Twitter questions I think I've seen. Although
the best of the Twitter questions, I think that's just the time that we had invested in that fucking movie question just took up all the time.
Well, there's one last very bizarre, I guess. It's not even a question. But Bruce Lee suggests, he's like, does anyone get the feeling like the Mardu clan sounds like Hodor's stepbrother?
Mardu.
And I agree. I mean, I should have read that question about an hour ago, because it would have worked out really well for me.
Timely shit is timely.
Yeah, we're doing this backwards, folks. We're going in reverse here.
That's right.
Yep. But that's kind of like where we're at tonight. I guess there is one last question.
I'm supposed to have like an apology for me fucking up fucking Death Right Magus's fucking name last week because he called me a dick. He answered to your question of like, you know, hey, we need to cast him, or we need to, like, we're casting tonight. We need the fucking show to be better. We need your guys' help. Give us your fucking questions. Make them profound. And then I see this, Maddie Studios, and the apology from Cabby Metal for getting my Twitter name wrong last week. Dick. Now, I'm going to start by saying, I don't remember saying your name last week. Because I don't remember
that either. I got to go listen to that.
But, regardless, it's Creature Mystery. Death Ride Magus, or... That's the best I could come up with. It sounds right. It looks right. So I apologize for fucking your name up, even though I don't remember fucking it up. And you know what? This is fucking Creature Mystery Doothright Majukas. That's his fucking Twitter name. At Doothright Majukas. Just to be a dick.
All your Twitter emails and questions direct to Kevy Metal at Kevy Metal. He will handle them all.
Metal at face2facetoronto.com.
Yeah. Actually, Kelly, set that up. We need email addresses at face2facetoronto. So there was one last question here from Gail Cox. Can't believe that is an actual name. Gail Cox. It sounds like a super wind kind of penis attack. But he suggests, he's like, Mr. Metal, there are cities around the world that many shows take place in, and if your film was to take off, where would you shoot this film? And I'm pretty sure that there's only one question or one answer to that.
I guess the only thing I could say to that is, eat my asshole, San Francisco!
I was going to say Detroit for the tax credit, but we could also do that.
What I want to know is, you guys have been pounding this shit for months to get your asses to Portland. Mm-hmm. And here we are, potentially the last cast before the GP. And you want to talk about all your amazing plans for next week?
Yeah, of course we do. So,
absolutely.
We always do this for a reason. We save the best for the end. The people that can make it. It's their reward. It's like we're wizards giving the judges better cards if you sign up for our shit and listen to 3 hours of us bullshit. So, Portland, this is what we're doing, folks. Guys, I'm flying in Thursday with Marcel, TSG. Thursday night, I believe we're doing some kind of wicked-ass dinner.
That's why I skipped that. Like, I booked my flight before you guys, but I knew better, and I skipped Thursday night.
Well, you're a fool, because it's going to be good times.
You better show up Friday drunk.
Oh, yeah, I will. How many ounces of alcohol do they allow on the plane? Because I think this is like a two-hour flight.
You know that you can pack your carry-on. You know how you can't have containers with over 3 ounces of liquid? You can just pack those all as the mini shooters. You can take as many as you want as long as no individual bottles.
Oh, really?
It's greater than three ounces. Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. Oh, I haven't flown on a plane because I don't really need to. I haven't flown on a plane since like 2001. So,
well, appear to be touched a lot, and then you'll get on a plane.
Yeah. Do you remember how much room you had in your seats? That doesn't exist anymore.
What I'm really concerned about is, like I said, how much liquor I can bring on the plane with me. And obviously, I can't bring a gigantic jug of liquor on the plane with me because of the liquid restriction.
Multiple bottles of smoke.
But what you're saying, TSG, is that as long as they're like under, what is it?
3 ounces.
3 ounces? Okay. So I can take Ziploc bags and empty this big bottle of Kraken.
Yes.
Into individual Ziploc bags as long as I make sure they're not over 3 ounces.
I recommend not bringing Ziploc baggies with small amounts of Kraken in it, but you can give it a shot. I don't know what
Ziploc baggies where you just bite them and suck the juice out of it would be amazing, dude. What's in it?
Like a poor man's Capri Sun.
Exactly.
Why doesn't Kraken make those juice
foil.
Sucky things? That would be awesome.
Mine's right. Not foil. Big fucking deal. It's fine. Like, I just
all right, so
talk it out.
So here's the plan, guys, for anyone that's in Portland. So we got two houses. Hit up Marcel, and I can't remember who has the other house. For the
Desperate Ravings.
Ah, there you go. Hit those
now,
dudes
now,
up.
Kevy, are you staying in one of the houses?
I am staying in the Marcel house with in the same bed as Slick Jagger. We paid extra so that we could cuddle.
You guys paid extra for the same bed? That seems like someone's taking your money, but whatever.
No, Marcel already put it out there. He's just all, that's how I make money on these things. But we went ahead and said, okay, that sounds good. That's fine. Like, our money goes to you. That's good. But we just paid extra so that we could cuddle in the same bed together.
Now, word on the street is that Maddie does not have the balls to even stay in the house.
Oh, no. Let me get to this. So we were in Vegas, right?
Yep.
Maddie was, you know, intelligent enough to get his own hotel room. And I believe that was because the client that you were visiting, and I say client as in the dragon lady, but the client that you were
visiting, yeah, I was going to see Dre.
the client you were visiting in Vegas paid for your hotel. So this time I was like, okay, maybe Maddie's not just trying to play it safe and stay away from us. Maybe Maddie's like, you know, the last time he was just like, oh, I should stay away from those guys. And then you're like, man, I should have stayed in the house. And then from what I hear, you're not staying in the house again. You have your own accommodations because you're probably smarter than us and you are staying out of the party house so that you can get some fucking sleep when you feel like it. But I don't know, man.
Pretty much. I mean, like, here's the way. I don't travel much, so when I get out, I don't know, man. I'm kind of a baller. I just want to stay at a nice hotel. And I looked at there's some nice fucking hotels, man. I'll party my ass off, but then when I want to sleep, yeah, probably do want to sleep. And
that
I do.
That is a surprising level of cop out.
I do like maids. How's that copping out, man? That's balling, man.
I'm packing my own goddamn air mattress for this place to try to get a corner to sleep in between 4 and 7 in the morning. And your ass is going to be going back to your posh hotel.
Oh, man.
I don't like where this is going at all.
It's going to be fucking epic, man.
Tristan, it's going to be great. We are going to get a key to his hotel room at some point.
Yeah, man. Why not?
He'll give you a key, but he won't tell you where the fuck it is.
And then we will try it in every hotel in Portland. And then until we find the right place.
I just
and
picture
then,
you passing out in front of some lady's hotel room. You're like, that's as far as you made it.
Yeah, that's as far. And it'll be like the third hotel room I tried.
Yeah, exactly. But all of a sudden someone's going to get a Kevy Metalgram.
It'll be the first hotel room and he'll kick the door down because he'll hear the voice and be like, Maddie, I know you could do voices. I'm coming in. Please don't hurt me. And you'll just be drunk and the police will be called. Hey, man.
What it's going to come down to is we're going to go on a mission to find Maddie's hotel room. And then like 6 of the people are going to be missing from the house. And Maddie was planning it from the beginning and he doesn't have a hotel room.
Oh, that would be ultimate trolling right there.
He's going to go sleep in our beds because he's just all, hey, Marcel, I told those idiots that I'm somewhere in this hotel and they're all there right now trying to find my hotel room to get me back there. So let's drink, let's have a good time, let's play some booze cube, and then I'm gonna go to bed in one of their beds.
That's smart, dude.
Me and Slick are gonna end up cuddling in a gutter in front of a hotel in Portland, hoping that it's Maddie's, and Maddie is gonna be sleeping fine in Slick's bed.
Damn, that sounds like a way better idea, man. That is sweet, dude. Now, if you are coming, that we are going to have insane food. I believe Marcel and we got 2 cooks. We got 3 cooks. Who do we got? We got crazy shit going on. So food looks like it's going to be awesome. I saw some crazy hardwood smoking wood getting purchased.
Hardwood smoking wood.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but it looks good. I don't know. I trust whatever Marcel's sticking in stuff. It's going to be good, right? At least that's what he tells you.
Yeah. What I see about this this upcoming weekend is the fact that, like, there have been a few of us from the SBU that did this in Vegas, and we had a blast with it, but we also learned from our mistakes. We also learned that, like, you can't have this much awesome in one city at the same time and expect to also be able to do a ton of shit. So, I feel like we've learned from our mistakes, and we're going to, like, this weekend, there are a lot of plans for it, but I think we're just going to go ahead and play it by ear and see what happened. Cause the last time we had a bunch of, well, the last time we had a bunch of plans for it, and we're like, oh, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And that just ended up sucking. So I think that we're going to, like, from what I gather, well, basically the team O2 drop team is going to just have fun this weekend. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, my only plans involved kind of pretty much bunkering down at the SVU house to get as full and drunk and as much cube drafting as I possibly can, and then venture out to have some very important meals with a lot of different important friends in the area.
Right, because you're not.
That's pretty much it.
Are you playing in the main event?
I am not, sir. I am not going anywhere near that shit.
He's staying out. Now, we are doing Werewolf. That's going to happen. That's going to be fucking sick. So, I mean,
I'm going to do some Werewolf.
Look,
I do know that game tops out at like 72 players, so RSVP now.
Yeah.
We can do rounds, man. We'll do rounds.
You're playing main event, correct?
Yeah, me, Marcel, and his brother are playing main event, so.
Right. Slick and I and Angelo had planned on playing the main event, and that fell through because Angelo's ride failed and he had no way to be able to be there, so Angelo wasn't going to be able to be there. So we're like, all right, we need a replacement for fucking Team O2 drop. And then we started searching and we found, holy shit, Tangent's going to be there. Tangent of all fucking people, you say? Yes, we're going to have Tangent be our teammate. And he was like, fuck yes. And I got an email from Tangent that said, I am not going to be able to be sure that I'm going to be in Portland until, like, probably until real close to, like, the day. So I don't want you guys, like, having me on the team and then letting you guys down. So I talked to Slick about it, and I said, hey, what do you think? Should we fucking find a second replacement?
Yes, you should get Jackie. He'd actually make you win.
No, yeah, that's the thing. Slick and I are probably going to give up after round two.
Okay, well, don't play with him then.
So we're like, it sounds like the universe is trying to tell us to just leave the fucking main event alone. And in preparation for that, it doesn't mean I'm not going to play Magic. Like, I didn't play any Magic at the GP I went to in Vegas. I didn't play any Magic at the GP I went to in fucking Oakland. And so, don't get me wrong. Like, I want to play some Magic, but I feel like Team Steeled and me and Slick just not being able to get a teammate together, we're like, you know what? Fuck this. Let's just skip the main event. So I have been diligently putting together my modern deck in paper so that I can fucking wreck all the modern side events. So
oh, I am also bringing Green Machine. I have it built in paper. Modern Green Machine. So I'm bringing that too. So if I scrub out, I definitely want to try and see if we can win one. That'd be awesome. We'll join the same pot if we get scrub out early. But even that, I just want to play cube with TSG. That alone is worth going to Portland.
I really hope I can lure you guys in with the most amazing cube experience you will have in your entire lives.
This is one of the main reasons we're going.
I'm all excited about doing it.
Yeah, this is going to be sweet.
We'll do it during the daylight hours when people are only regular drunk and before they're vomit on the cards drunk.
Yeah, have you guys seen the GP Vegas video that Marcel posted? Daytime drunk and nighttime drunk are the same fucking thing.
Well, that's dangerous for my very nice collection. But you guys, I got the new SDCC Planeswalkers. I've got the whole thing nice, re-sleeved, ready to go.
Oh, man, it's going to be epic. I hope you double-sleeved it.
Oh, it is.
Triple-sleeved it.
Are all of your cards in Ziploc bags?
Hermetically sealed.
And I don't want that.
All right. Now, to close the show out, I'd forgotten. Stephen Raffel had sent in a question, and this is a very interesting and very topical question. And he's like, through some terrible accident, drunk shenanigans. Of course, he says they're drunk shenanigans. You guys lost your arms and legs. Situation is critical and replacements are slim pickings. The only limbs that are available are dog legs, ostrich's legs, wings, midget arms, whatever you choose. So I don't know what the accident is.
The only options left are a bunch of random things or whatever you choose. So now we basically get to choose whatever we want.
Yeah, but don't choose my own fucking arms and legs gay, because that's gay.
Of course, that's no problem.
So I imagine the accident would be, if anyone remembers way back to episode 3.
Plane crash on the way to Portland.
No, that's not jinx shit, man. No, you were trying to drunk draft while driving. And that was, remember that?
No, I was trying to drunk draft, and the person sitting next to me was a wood chipper.
Yeah, so that's basically the accident. So I assume if you want to run fast, holy shit, ostrich legs? Stick those on, man. Fucking tall.
I'm going with kangaroo legs and, fuck that eagle wings for my arms. I get to fucking fly and kick the shit out of you. I don't even need to,
that's hilarious.
I don't even want to be able to have opposable thumbs. I don't give a fuck. At this point, I've already picked up enough things in my life. I'm good. I don't need to have opposable thumbs. If I could have fucking like eagle wings, you gotta talk like bald eagles, like wingspan, because otherwise it's gonna be pointless. I'm gonna be a flightless bird with fucking kangaroo legs. And that seems like no fun. I have to have something that'll be able to keep me aloft. But then I also want those fucking strong ass kangaroo legs so I could kick you through a fucking wall. And then I literally would just wear like a fucking, I don't know, like a fucking WOTC badge and just fly around the country and just regulate fucking tournaments.
I don't know, but that sounds pretty epic. What I have planned doesn't even come close to that. Kangaroo legs so you can kick people sounds absurdly amazing.
If I have kangaroo legs, I'm also probably gonna by default get the pouch. Like,
oh yeah, holds Kraken.
And like, I mean, I can hold my babies and shit in there if I want to, but then like, if I'm not babysitting, like, cause I assume I'm probably gonna be like a single father if I end up with, you know, kangaroo legs and fucking eagle wings. Like, I'm pretty sure my wife's gonna leave me. So on the days I have my kid, I can fly him around and show him a good time. And on the days I don't have my kid, I can just pack it full of booze and bring it to Magic Tournament.
I believe he said,
because the Magic community is the only people that are gonna accept me.
That's true. They're not judging America.
Freak the fuck out. Well, they're judging people, but like, if you're different, then they're like, oh God, we have to give you everything. So, I have to be involved in the Magic community. One, because I love them. Because two, they're probably going to be the only people that would still accept me. And then I will be able to fly around. Maybe I'll concentrate on being a judge at that point.
Wow. What would they even call you? The fucking, judge. You know what? No, you'd be definitely Clan Mardu. Yeah, you're definitely Clan Mardu.
DSG. What limbs would you pick?
Well, this whole thing got me thinking about how much I'd like to go centaur mode on the bottom, at least.
Oh, right on. See,
but then I was really afraid if I used the good limbs on the bottom, I'd be stuck with some like midgety T-Rex hands up top, and I don't want to keep jamming my face against my computer monitor every time I'm trying to type.
Because hooves don't work when your laptop.
No, exactly. So as much as I'd like to go centaur on the bottom, because then I could like literally piss like a racehorse. I'm not exactly sure what I would do for hands. I think most things in the animal kingdom are pretty shortcoming. I mean, maybe some kind of like amphibian type reach out limbs, you know, like, I'm not sure what I want though. I mean,
tentacles?
Who knows? If I go centaur bottom, I may be all out and I may be limbless on top. I don't know.
No, you gotta have hands, man.
What if you just get like fucking crab claw on top? Like you have one fucking gimp arm and then you have the ginormous claw. So you gotta figure like a crab claw on you is gonna be fucking huge. And you could just crush things with it. Either way, the only way we're gonna make a living is be part of the circus. So.
I was thinking at least courier. I don't know.
Yeah, courier? Cause he's such a.
Well, then
I like it.
Go with that theme because, like, you know, then don't take the crab claw idea because every time somebody hands you something, you're going to break it in half and it's not going to end up well on the other end. So
I don't want
like
a Lenny, like, greased up glove or anything. Like, I don't really know where to go here. That's where I'm hung up.
I think you have to go monkey arms. I think you have to have a
opposable. Ooh.
Yeah.
Monkey arms. Now, hey, so you guys
is
are
that
all
cheating?
Picking.
I don't know.
I don't think that's cheating.
Now this would be no. I don't think.
So Maddie's a God fearing man.
I don't think. It's,
no, I am not scared of that guy.
To watch TSG just fucking run himself through the jungle from tree to tree, like from limb to limb on trees, but having the horse back end on him would be fucking hilarious.
I mean, I'll definitely take creature type centaur monkey.
Yeah. Somebody make that card. Centaur ape? Oh.
Centaur ape and kangaroo eagle.
Curd ape suck my balls. Like, yes. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, if it has to come down to me, geez, man.
Not a Naya creature, I don't know what it is.
I don't know either, but I think the best legs of anything are raptor legs. Those freaking claw legs, the dinosaur legs.
That's fair.
Like, because you could punch shit, but I could just rip people apart. Like, if they got those hanging around, I don't even know. But if they do, like...
If they're laying there when we have this, like, this choice of limbs...
Maybe we were driving. We crashed. All our legs and arms got cut off as we were thrown through the windshield. We crashed into Jurassic Park. I don't know. Maybe they're just like, holy shit, you just killed a fucking velociraptor. Save him. Stick the fucking legs on him. But
I like it.
But see, I agree with TSG. I don't want those little fucking wimpy, you know, Tyrannosaurus arms. So, like, I would have to, like, request full-on... I mean, you got wings. Wings are good, but then, like, how do you type? I don't know how you're typing unless you got one of them straws you hold in your teeth and you, like, push each key at a time. How do you even get your headset on to cast? Like, I don't know. I don't think you thought this through.
No, I got this. You just blow in the fucking tube. You're good.
Okay. Well,
a lot of Kevy's answers to problems involve blowing.
Yes, exactly.
Well, then give me like freaking lion claw hands and freaking awesome badass velociraptor legs and a tail. I'd want a tail so then like whip it around and shit.
Yeah, I think having a tail, like if you're going to have to add shit to your body, a tail would be a good idea just so you could do it.
Now, the only other thing you could do is I would just want those blades that crazy runner guy had, those metal legs that you just, it's just a piece of metal. So, like, if we couldn't have fancy, you know, a shit grafted to our body and we, like, just had to use pieces of the car that was there, we just take the bumper off and, you know, cut it in half, stick it in your legs, and maybe we could run like the Blade Runner.
Oh! You know what you could do for your arms? You could just go boa constrictors for arms.
Ooh.
That's just one big muscle. And you could type with it, and you could also strangle people with it.
You could also use it for other things. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, you could pull your own penis off.
You know...
Wow, this was a great ending to a great cast.
Did anyone ever watch Marlon Perkins?
Nope.
The Wild Adventures?
Marlon.
Come on. TSG, you did. Marlon, remember the Marlon Perkins Adventures, the old, like, Disney reels from the 60s?
Nope.
Where he'd talk about, like, the Wild Kingdom. Here we see a man with eagle wings.
9, 12.
And kangaroo legs. Nope. All right, well... What?